Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk, that talk show that is made for men, by men, and not even ladies want to miss our show. Let me take care of an administrative thing here. No noise. Want to keep that noise out. You guys know I like to take on unique topics. I'm never one for being a copycat, and I do understand the consequences of not following the herd, right? So there are so many YouTubers taking on relationship conversations, and I just haven't played follow the leader. So I'm going to say welcome to everyone. Thank you for joining my channel. I'm Ted Santos. I'm your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men, made by men. And the intent is to give men their voice, a voice that only a man can have. And not even women want to hear how men think and speak. And someone suggested I take on a topic you haven't heard me talk about other people specifically. I like to talk about social challenges, relationships. But Khalid, if you're in the house already, I thank you for suggesting this. Well, hey, Oscar G, Country Boy, good to see you guys in the house. I'm asking the question, is he helping or hurting? Going to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. There are some things to be concerned about. And there are some really good things. There are some things that needed to be discussed a long, long time ago. For some reason, they were not. We're going to deal with that too. So as you come in, smash that thumbs up button. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, smash that subscribe button and hit the bell so you get my future notifications. If you haven't ordered my book already, I have to do this plug. Here's Why You Can't Find Love. You will see and hear and read perspectives that you probably haven't always heard before. The book is filled with tools to help people understand how they sabotage relationships of any kind, even in the workplace. Everything in this book is completely transferable to work. Your love, your family, your friends, all of the skills that are in there. Because they're dealing with the source of why people sabotage relationships. It's getting people down to tools that help you uncover the source of how we become the way we are. And then it gives some tools for really powerful ways to create great relationships. Not good relationships, great relationships. Yeah, yep. So, I mean, hey, look, Oscar, there's no way you can say there's been no good that came out of Kevin. Be kind of blind to say that, to be honest. And I know there are people who don't like him and say he should be stopped. You know, just like in nature, in the food chain, there's so many animals and insects that serve its purpose. So in the YouTube ecosystem, you can say he definitely serves a purpose. Colette, check you out in the house. Good to see you. Robstagram, thank you for joining. So I have quite a few thoughts on this one. So if you haven't shared this video, share it. Even on Instagram, share this with people, because this is a conversation. This is a very constructive perspective on another person who has been clearly very successful. He's been a YouTube sensation. He's done a great job of identifying things that work and don't work in a relationship. He's done a great job of setting a bar and a criteria for men. I first saw him probably in, I think it was 2019, maybe early 2019. And it was interesting because he had a very different approach and perspective on relationships when I first saw him. So interesting comments in the chats. Kevin's helping men wake up to modern women. Delusional entitlement. Yep. Hey, yeah. Marriage, divorce. So I'm going to make a comment about marriage. So one of the things that concerns me is that marriage is a one-day event. I understand there's this legal binding contract, right? But for a lot of people, especially women, marriage is a wedding. That's the thing, the most important day in their life, right? Their special day is the wedding. But marriage really is a legal binding contract. So, you know, if you set up a business with someone, you're going to have a legal binding contract with your partner. How do you conduct yourself with your partner? And people will get training to know how to do that. They get it from corporate America. They get it elsewhere. Or there's an etiquette when you have a business and legal binding contract. For some reason, that etiquette doesn't apply to marriage. And whether you have a business legal binding contract with a business partner, or you have a legal binding contract with a love interest, what you call a marriage, they're both relationships. And it seems like the idea that these are relationships, your interactions with your siblings, with your friends, with your colleagues at work, your neighbors, these are all relationships. We have tons of relationships in life. And it seems like the one place where relationships seems to have the rules of engagement are like unsanctioned, right? You can just do whatever you want in a marriage. What are you going to do, divorce me? So yeah, we're going to get into all this. Robstagram, I'm bringing up a topic that I've avoided for a long time, and it's, is Kevin Samuels helping anyone? Is he a savior, the saint? I think some people call him a saint. Is he a charlatan? Is he really helping people? Is it help or is it hype? And have people bought into the help or they bought into the hype? Help or hype? And there's a lot that can be discussed about this. And there are some concerns. So I'm going to... Robstagram, drop a couple of links in here. So guys, I have a request. If you haven't smashed that like button, smash the like button. If you haven't shared it already, this is a big conversation because it technically goes well beyond Kevin Samuels. And Oscar, you're talking about, you know, what is it going to take to transform people? This is a big problem. I mean, Kevin Samuels may have mastered the notion of mixing relationship advice with entertainment. And so now, is it help or hype? So before I give all my thoughts on this, I want to take a couple of calls. Area code 870, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk, and also I'm bringing in 605. 870, you go first. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. And guys, your support is always appreciated. I just dropped my PayPal and Cash App links in there. Appreciate your support. And 870, you're live and on the air. What are your thoughts about this?
Good evening, Ted. Yes, man, I'm glad you brought Mr. Samuels up. He trying to wake up the masses, because if you notice, he deal with a whole wide spectrum of clients and then a whole lot of different types of women, too. So his rhetoric is trying to help.
Okay.
And I applaud him for that. I really do. And I really hope you and him get a chance to work with each other.
Very good. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. What is next? Ms. Project. Poetic. Ms. Poetic. Dadzo. 605, you're live and on the air with Street Talk. What are your thoughts? Is Kevin Samuels helping anyone?
Hey, Ted. Hello, Kendricks. I hope you guys can hear me because I'm having problems with my app.
Good evening, Mr. Sturgeon.
Can you hear me?
Come on, Joe. How you feeling, man?
Okay, good. I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
Man, I'm
doing everything good.
Good. You know, Ted, I don't even know who Kevin Samuels is. Well, I just called in. I don't even know what the topic of the show is. But I guess it's about this guy, Kevin Samuels. But, okay, so what's his importance?
So he's become a YouTube sensation. I first saw this guy, I think it was early 2019, giving relationship advice. And he's a guy who has, he hasn't coined the term high-value man, but he popularized it. So many people are using this term high-value man, and he actually gave a criteria of a high-value man makes a minimum of $10,000 a month, and he's been doing this for the past 5 years to qualify as a high-value man. If you make $75,000, $90,000, you're not high-value. You, depending on your age, you might be in the making.
Hey, let me stop you, Ted, because, Ted, you're breaking up, but I know it's not you. It's my app. So I'm going to call back in a few seconds. Hopefully, it'll buffer up properly this time, and I can hear you guys. All right, so I'm gonna call back in a few seconds.
All right, good. Hey, Kendrick, am I coming through clear for you?
Crystal clear. And I want to add for the record, Mr. Ted, that Kevin Samuels was originally an image consultant. He was a well-respectable image consultant, and for somehow he ended up in this dating, the whole dating topic. You know, when his clients started coming to him for that type of advice. So
right.
That what really made him go, you know, go full blown into this dating stuff.
Okay. Hey, Joe, am I still breaking up or am I clear now?
No, you're better now. So my app is better. It's not you, Ted. It's not the show. It's my app because I'm using VoIP. But apparently, Kendricks, you know about Kevin Samuels. I don't know anything about him, so... So I'll learn more as the show progresses.
So
he's been an image consultant for a while, by my understanding.
So he's a YouTube sensation, Joe. I'm not sure how long he's been doing YouTube. He's had a decent following. He may be at a million followers now. I know he's over 900,000. But when I first saw him around 2019, he was presenting himself more as what some guys would call a simp. Like, so he was the guy who was doing whatever it took for a woman, you know, buying expensive gifts. And he had this box, I think it was orange, and he said, this is what you should be buying your woman, and most guys don't know about this. He didn't make up this term high value man. He popularized it. So a lot of people use high value man, and they credit him with making it as popular as it is, at least the term and the criteria of high value man making at least $10,000 a month, and you had to be making it for 5 years, and you have to have a valuable network. And I see you, Nyas. Thank you. Thank you. He said, someone said he's been doing this since 2016 or 15. So, and what Kevin Samuels, what's become controversial is women actually call into his show, and he rates them. He rates them in looks. He rates them in behavior, or what you call personality. And there are some women who have called in and said they're, and he says, scale of, you know, 1 to 10, how do you rate yourself? And he says, you can't rate yourself a 7 because that's what most women will say. So instead of a 7, you either have to use a 6 or an 8. And so you get women who call in and say, I'm a 9, I'm an 8. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, let me see you on a video. And you're no better than a 4 or a 5, you know. If you get made up, maybe you're and so people are like, oh, this guy is so negative. You know, a woman can be a 10 in her right mind. And, you know, he's got women calling in and saying, you're 5'8", 250. He's like, you're a damn linebacker. How the hell, like, what? If you want a high-value man making $100,000 a year, how the hell is a guy like that going to choose a woman who's 5'8", 250 pounds when you should be playing for the New York Giants or something like that? So as a linebacker, so he said women have had unrealistic outlooks on themselves and what they want from men. And, you know, the man has to be 6'2", six pack, and make six figures. And I think what seems to have happened is men who have been saying these things, but they're also afraid to say it because women will shut them up and say, well, you know, if you say anything about a woman, you have to talk about your mother too. And so men have been shut down.
And all the natural BS. Sounds to me, Ted, like he's the YouTube version of Tom Likas.
You could, yeah, he's a black American, and so, yeah, and I'm going to, yeah, so, and I've listened to a lot of Tom Likas. So, what he's done is have men become more comfortable calling women out on their, hey, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, you're not a 10, you're not even a 6. You're overweight. You know, these are the things that we don't want. And I mean, here you are saying you want the six-figure man, and you have no clue what a six-figure man wants in a woman. And he addresses things like, well, look at how confrontational you are. You know, you don't answer questions. You don't know how to communicate. And a six-figure man is not going to go for that. And then he asks questions. So, you want to get married? The woman says, yes. Okay, how many children you want? 2. You want to live a pretty good, like, upper middle class life? Yes. You know what it costs to have 2 children and a wife in upper middle class? And the women say, no. Well, you need a guy who makes about $330,000 a year. Do you know how many men make that much money? And so if most women are out here saying they want that guy, and only 1% 10% of the population or 5%, you're delusional. And on top of that, you're 5'4", 225, you realize guys who make that kind of money will not even look at you. And there, you know, some women are like, yeah, but, you know, I have a great personality and I have a good job. And he's like, are you crazy? You think a man is looking for you for your job if he makes $300,000 a year? So he's brought some harsh realities to women.
All right, so yeah. He calls them out on their self-worth, which is a little bit overrated in their own mind, and he lets women know that they don't know what it is that a man looks for in a woman and what they think that a man looks for in a woman. They certainly don't have, according to their value system. All right, okay, I got it.
Well, it's not that women are a little overrating; they are just delusional. Like, these women are not even attractive at all, and they're saying they're 8s and 9s. So this is not, you know, you're a 4, not an 8. You're not even a 6. Maybe if you get really dressed up, you might look like a 6 if you get well dressed up. So, Hold on, Kendrick. Someone just said women live in a fantasy. And that, you could say that's what he's doing. He's exposing the fantasy that women have been attempting to force men to accept a woman's delusional view of herself. Go ahead, Kendra.
And to be honest with you, he allowing these women to expose their own selves. If you watch him long enough, and if any man on your show watch that man long enough, he giving them enough rope to hang themselves. On live national internet, man. This is ridiculous.
Right.
He letting these women expose their own stuff. So he just feeding them along so he can try to get that, so he can let these brothers see the truth that's coming out their mouth. You can't polish a turd, pig. You just can't do it.
So, right, a pig with lipstick is still a pig, right?
Still a pig, yeah. Put lipstick on a pig. Still a pig.
Right. You can put beautiful pearls on a pig and the most expensive lipstick in the world, and what you have at the end of all of that, you have a pig with beautiful lipstick and nice pearls, and it's still a damn pig. So, and that's, I guess that's part of what he's been exposing with women, is that some of you are pigs with lipstick on, and women are saying, well, they're offended, and, you know, this guy has to be stopped. He shouldn't be allowed to demean.
Is that women. Right? So the cancel culture,
right.
The cancel culture is working on him now.
They're saying he shouldn't be allowed to demean women like this because it's unfair to undermine a woman's confidence, and he has no right to give them reality. If she thinks she's an 8, let her go out and do it. But so what in the way that helps women is, you know, some of these women who are a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10, they might have hooked up with a guy who meets that, you know, 6'2", 6-pack, 6-figure, and that guy will have sex with her one night or maybe a couple of nights. And now she believes that since she's hooked up with a guy like that, that's her match. Her sexual marketplace value now gives her access to a man like that to marry, and she hasn't figured out that those guys will bang you, but they won't marry you. They will never marry you.
I won't marry an immunity, because when you tell a person to lie for so long, this what the Bible talk about. If you rather believe the lie than believe the truth, Ted, you done lived a lie all your life. How do you know what truth is? See what I'm saying?
Right.
They were starting to believe the lie.
Well, you know, there was a time where average-looking women understood their place in the dating ecosystem. They dated average-looking guys. If you were an overweight woman, You either look for the guy who loves overweight women, or you dated overweight men. So women didn't do this by themselves. So guys have to actually look in the mirror for, and what the guys, some men continue to do is to tell women that, you know, if she's a 4, he'll tell her that she's a 10 and she'll believe it. If you say, like Kendrick just said, you lie to her enough times, she starts to believe the lie, and now she markets herself as though she's a 10. And the way Kevin Samuels helps with that is these women will end up being the cat lady. They'll never marry the guy they believe they deserve. And I think that's the other problem. Women are saying, well, I know my worth. I have an education. I have a car and I have my own home. And that entitles me to a man who makes 6 figures and he's got his head together. You know, he's intelligent and has a great network. And they haven't come to the realization that those men don't want them. They cannot compete with those women. So he's exposed that. For men to be comfortable to talk about, because I'm asserting that some men saw this. I mean, you know, it's a little surprising that no man was aware of this delusion. That's actually disappointing, that men couldn't see that. And I guess if men didn't want to see it, it's because they would have to deal with the fact that they actually enabled those women to become that way. They created monsters by telling 4s that they were 8s. And now she's walking around as an 8 and gaining weight every day. So what Kevin Samuels, you could say he did a great job in exposing these things, and he addresses women, you know, as Kendrick was saying, he's an image consultant. So he talks to women about their image, whether it's being overweight, whether they have a wig on their head that looks like a mop that they just finished using to mop the kitchen floor, and they're proud of it. So he's exposed this. But there's more to him, and people have addressed some of the more. For one, Kevin Samuels himself is not, he is not in any sense of the word, according to his criteria, he is not a high-value man. And that also creates a problem. He comes out of a single mother household, and that creates another set of problems. Kevin Samuels, someone dug up some tax filings and found that he was making $900 a month is what he was making. And this is recent, like 2000, I think it was after 2010. And this is while he was married. So he's been divorced twice. I'm not sure how many children he has. I know there have been some issues with child support. So just to start, to my knowledge, he's never been a high-value man. So he sets a criteria, and he tells men, well, you know, you're not valuable. You're not a high-value man, and you have no right to look for XYZ. So, you know, I live in the most expensive state in the U.S., in the United States. New Jersey is the most expensive state across, when you look at the cost of living, food, gas, insurance, mortgage, rent, all of that. This is real estate taxes. This is the most expensive state. Right across the river is New York City, which is, as a city, is more expensive than New Jersey. However, as a state of New York State is nowhere near as expensive as New Jersey, because you go farther up upstate New York, and real estate is very cheap. Cost of living is cheaper. It's a very different world. New Jersey has the dilemma of being attached, closely attached to two metropolises. One is New York City, the other one is Philadelphia. So people who come from Philly or New York to live here, they actually push the prices of real estate and everything else up here. Location, right? And we have lots of car theft in New Jersey and insurance fraud. So there are all sorts of things in New Jersey that push the price, the cost of living up here. So if you make $50,000 in New Jersey or New York City, you're going to have what people could consider somewhat of a mediocre lifestyle. You know, you'll really have to manage your money well, but you won't be taking these exotic vacations twice a year and spending a lot of money on those. You're not going to be living the jet set life, making $50,000 a year. However, Joe, you live in Montana, right? $50,000 a year, you can live okay over there, correct?
You can if you know how to budget, if you know how to regulate your lifestyle. Yeah. It's not the most expensive state around. It's not going to be compared to Jersey or New York.
Right.
So
right.
What's the particular thrust of your show? That a high-value man should or should not be able to attract a high-value woman? Or, like I said, I didn't take a look at your description page. I know you're talking about Kevin Samuels, but what's the particular purpose of the show today?
I'm talking about this guy, Kevin Samuels. Has he helped? And I'm now addressing one of the things that may not have been helpful. I mean, if you live in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago or Boston or D.C., Philadelphia, $50,000 doesn't go very long. And I get that, except when you look at the United States as a whole, the East Coast, West Coast, especially the Mid-Atlantic region, does not represent the rest of the United States. So one of the things that happens if you say, look, you're not a high-value man because you make less than $10,000 a month, that can cause women who have already diminished men for many reasons, but the woman who's only qualified for a $50,000 a year guy is now demanding the six-figure guy, and there's a very small percentage of the population that makes six figures or more, you know, 100,000 or more. So I think that can, while he gets women into a reality about the way they look, there's also women believe they deserve this high, what he categorizes as a high value man, where if you live in Arkansas or Mississippi, many other states, you know, with Kansas, $50,000, you could actually raise a family. You may not be living in an elite lifestyle, but you can actually raise a family and have a good life if you know how to budget, if you're not squandering money. And I think that's something women need to see, that a man is not valuable just strictly based on the fact he makes $100,000 a year. And they're getting this from a guy who has only recently join that six figure because he makes a lot of money on YouTube. So he's technically not a high value man. And suggesting to women that if you're going to get a high value man, this is the criteria you look for. And I think that gives women a false sense of what to look for in a man is what I'm getting at with that, Joe.
Okay, so they're delusional. From what I'm getting so far from what you've been saying is that there are women who, because they're independent, they make a certain amount of money, and according to this guy's criteria, they feel entitled to have this particular type of high-value man. but because they overrate themselves, they're delusional, they're not going to realize that they're not going to get the man, and they don't understand the difference between being attractive versus attracting attention. So they can get laid, and when they get laid by a high-value man, it kind of confirms their delusions. For what I'm getting from you is that they think that since they bang the high-value man, they don't have to make improvements upon themselves, because by banging him, that confirms their delusion that even though they're 5'4" and 200 pounds, they still feel they're attractive enough for the high-value man. Correct?
Right, but I'm taking it a step further and saying, one, that he's creating this criteria.
My app went there.
All right, I guess your app is acting up again, Joe, huh?
What happened?
You don't hear me. Okay.
Ted, let me also add that some of those women come with kids also. And he called him out on that too.
Right, right. So, which, see, these are things that men have, this is why I say what he's done is helped men have a voice, because men have allowed themselves to be shut down and not talk about these things, to not be able to say to a woman, look, you have three children, you have them by three different men, and that's unacceptable. And so he's helping women understand that your children are a liability, and no man who, if we just stick with Kevin's criteria of a high-value man, making a certain amount of money, which not always, but if you're making a good six-figure income, you can be an entrepreneur, you can be you can work in a corporation, and if you work in a corporation, more than likely you have some responsibility that comes with your job. And with that responsibility, there's a certain image. And most of those guys are not marrying women who have children by different men, because she has proven herself to make poor decisions. So a man who's made great decisions in his career, moved up the ladder, be foolish to marry a woman who has a track record for making a bunch of decisions. And if she says, well, I'm different now, it's like, well, even if you have just one child, what you proved is that first, you don't know how to choose the correct man. Second, you will let the wrong man impregnate you. And third, you will disengage, right? You will take that man out of the child's life, out of the home, and raise that child alone. That's three poor decisions. So when a woman says, well, I'm no longer that person, you, as a man, I have proof that you've just made poor decisions. Now, if you have a second child by a different man, you've made two poor decisions. Now you've done it six times. And there's no proof that now you're going to be different, because as a man, here's what I can say to that woman. If I, Ted, would have met that woman when she first started seeing that man, if I would have said, look, lady, you're dating, this is the wrong man, she would have said, look, I know what I'm doing. I'm smart enough. You can't tell me what to do. And so she would have continued with that relationship and believing that she knows what she's doing. So now when she comes to me and says, well, I'm different and I know what I'm doing, I can say, well, that's the same thing you would have said before. You stuck with the wrong guy. You let the wrong guy impregnate you. You had the baby, and then you divorced or cut your ties with the guy, which hurts the child, emotionally traumatized the child. So you're just going to listen to yourself. So what's going to be different if I invite you into my life? You're going to think you know what you're doing, only to find out that this doesn't work. So either you're choosing the wrong guy or you're choosing the right guy, and you're choosing the wrong way to handle him, and it ends up not working. So which one is it? What's going on, Justin? Yeah, I get that. Well, see, the government can't protect women from poor decision making, and that's the thing men need to look at. I mean, it's fine if the government wants to help you, divorce court, but men need to look at that and say, hey, you are a poor decision maker. Even a woman who's divorced, especially if she's divorced and has children, she's showing that she's a poor decision maker. And men need to actually look at it that way. What makes you think all of a sudden she's going to be different just for you? She made poor decisions in the past, and you have proof for it. She has no proof that she's a better decision maker now. She can tell you, well, I made better decisions over here, but when it comes to marriage and relationships, she has lots of proof that she's a poor decision maker. If she's overweight, you make poor decisions about your choice of food. You make poor decisions about the care of your body. See, these are things that men need to be looking at. And as you just said, Nyas, Kevin has just recently come into, he's still, according to his criteria, he's not a high-value man, because according to him, you have to earn $10,000 a month for 5 straight years. He hasn't done that. And I'm going to get to that, and that's where some of the problems come in. Hey, Imperator, good to see you. It's not about judging them for their past mistakes. Look, if you have a child and you know someone's a pedophile and they say, well, just because I was locked up for pedophilia doesn't mean I'm still a pedophile. Let me babysit your 8-year-old daughter. I think most of you are going to say, hell no, because he made some poor decisions in the way he interacted with children. So it's clear, right? So you don't want to see your child damaged by some predator, some pedophile. So why would you let someone into your life who's making poor decisions and saying, don't judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm looking at the facts. You made poor decisions. If you made poor decisions in the past, what happened with your mindset? And there are women who will say, well, I went to therapy. You know, I was traumatized, sexually abused. But here's the problem. A lot of those women, they go right back to the same environment, which fosters a certain mindset. So they end up still, one, with residue from whatever trauma, and two, they're still around the same kinds of people that make poor decisions. Their network of support is still the same. So they end up being the same person, and they can't see it because they're saying, well, I did this thing. I went to therapy. And I know Kevin tells people to go to therapy, but people need to do more than go to therapy. They need to create an entirely new environment with people that have a very different mindset, more of a mindset of where you want to go, as opposed to people from your past, because one of the challenges of doing like self-improvement, personal development, I mean, if you really do transformational work, when you interact with your people who haven't done it from your past, whether it's friends or family, they have a tendency to want to pull you back for who they know you to be in the past. People are often trying to get you to your past. Either you're going to have to support them in going through a transformation, or you're going to have to take a step away and spend a lot less time with them. See, like these are things that Kevin talks about having an etiquette school for women. See, one of the problems that Kevin uses, like, really slick, fancy slogans, and I understand people have, that's entertaining, right? And people can feel good because they can say, I'm an FBI, and I'm feminine, and I'm all these acronyms, and people feel good about that, to be able to say I'm that. But people don't actually understand what it takes to create a relationship, a great one. So they have these, and one of the outcomes, so I'm asking, is Kevin helping or hurting? So on one hand, he's helped women face delusion, like they're upset. He's helped guys have a voice. He's helped men who, as Nias, you were saying, guys who didn't see this before, right? And so they can see how they were allowing themselves to be exploited by women. And that's been helpful. But one of the things that really does hurt is he says, well, you need to be, here's what high value men, and see, this is where I'm going to connect it for you. Kevin Samuels is not a high value man. He's never been one. And he's telling women what high value men want, and he has no idea. He may have seen a picture of it or a movie of it. Just because you saw a movie of a high-value man doesn't mean that you understand high-value men. Just like if a woman who is unattractive sees a movie of attractive women, it doesn't make you attractive all of a sudden because you saw attractive women and you understand what you saw what they do to put on makeup and it having
everything.
Having images of something and being something, being to a woman who can say, okay, look, I'm fit. I go to the gym, and she may not be fit, right? But she says, I go to the gym, and she's been going for the past 6 months. She's got her, you know, $10 a month membership. And she says, well, I'm feminine because I wear dresses, my nails are done, and I do my hair and makeup, and all of these things make me feminine. And so when you ask a woman, and I've seen this, well, why would a man want to marry you? She says, well, I'm fit, feminine, and friendly. And so what he's doing is creating parrots. He's creating women who will end up acting and saying, well, Kevin said if I do these, I'll attract a high-value man. And I don't know if people can see that that's actually a problem. What were you going to say, Kendrick?
I was going to say, Katie, it's just like like what you were saying, trying to compare the lifestyle to something that you're not living to. It's almost like for me to be telling you something about what it's like to be a raw family member when I ain't never a day in my life lived that lifestyle. The closest comparison that I can give you, Ted, to being in particular like Queen Elizabeth's situation, the closest I can be to that lady right now, Ted, is working at that lady's butler in her kitchen. That's
right.
The only thing in comparison that I can give you anything close to that lifestyle. Other than that, you just running your mouth. You know what I'm saying?
That's
you know what I mean?
One,
that's just crazy.
This is my one concern about Kevin, is he's giving advice about what high value, what he considers to be a high value man, and what they look for, and there are some inaccuracies because he only has an image of this. Kosher clinician, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining. Here you love Brazil, man. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that one day. My concern is that there are guys out there who make $60,000, $70,000, $90,000, and according to Kevin, they're not high value, except the reality is those men are very much high value. They developed a craft, right, an education. Hell, they could be a crane operator. They can be a brick mason. These are men who developed a craft, and they make enough money to take care of their families. If you're making $75,000, you won't have an extravagant lifestyle in New Jersey or New York City or LA. You just have to know how to manage and budget your money. However, in many other states, $75,000, you can actually take care of your family and have a good life. And you can be a man who's developed yourself, your head is together. You make sure your wife and your children are well cared for. They eat, they have a roof over their head. You make sure your wife is getting the affection and attention. Your wife becomes a better woman because of you know, your mindset. Your wife has a stable household. She can be emotionally stable because she's got you to lean on. Like a man can be extremely valuable, not only to his family, to the community, and he doesn't make $100,000 a year. See, that's where part of my concern is. And I understand he wants to set a bar. But what it does is it diminishes a lot of men who are very valuable to themselves, to their families, to their relatives, and to the community, and they don't make $100,000 a year. These men are developing their craft. They develop their mindset. There are men who invest in a community, and this has been happening in lots of places, right? Especially if these men organize themselves. And a lot of women are missing out on some really, really good guys. And the fact of the matter is only a small percentage of men earn six figures, $100,000 or more.
So let me ask you this, Ted. So why is all them worried about how much man making? If you just said it, the word just came out your mouth, it's a whole lot of other decent dudes out here that make this country work. So why is you worried about the top 10 or the top 5% of the earners? That's a small percentage of men, Ted. Those $100,000 a year to the millionaire, why is you focusing on it? It sounds to me like you're greedy and you're scheming on something. That's what this sounds like to me.
Maybe they're scheming on something. But it's also the delusion, right? So these women say, well, I know my worth, and so women believe, well, because I have a job and she makes $75,000, she wants a man who makes more. There are women out there who make $150,000 a year, and they do not want to marry a guy who makes less than them.
See how crazy that sounds.
Hey, let me take a call, Kendrick. I'm going to take a call from area code 425. 425, you're not on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you call?
This is Joe. From
Yo,
Montana.
Okay.
Which one works better? So, it is. Girls, you know, I've talked to many girls over the years, and I've asked them, "What did you bring to the table? What do you think a man want in a woman?" And they say the same thing that you've always said on your show, is that when they have a job, they're independent, they have a car, they have a house, or they're paying decent rent, that they think that they're attractive to men because this is what they want in a man. They believe that what a man wants in a woman is the same thing. And
right.
They just can't seem to get it through their head that what we want, you know, it's topping on the cake. Okay, if you have a good job, if you're a lawyer and the man is, let's say, a manager of a retail chain, he's making good money, maybe even more than the lawyer, but he's not as prestigious as the lawyer. What he wants is a good support system, a good woman who will support him, be there in his corner, not tell lies about him, you know, to let him feel that he's delusional himself. In other words, if he's making mistakes, he appreciates a good woman who points out the mistake. Long is not going to be cringeworthy. She's not going to point fingers at him and make him feel bad. That's what we want in women. We want a support system. We want intelligent, trustworthy support systems. And very, very few women, even these relationship counselors who are a dime a dozen, who are on Blog Talk Radio, they don't even know what men want. So it's actually pathetic. And I'm hoping my app sounds better than the other one. Anybody hear me?
Oh, yes, sir. I hear you.
Oh, hey, Kendrick. Okay. Pat hasn't responded. So what do you think, Kendrick, about what I just said, about, you know, what women say they believe that a man wants in them?
Well, yeah, you get me, man. It sounds a lot of this stuff sounds confusing. You're a pass up dude
like,
that got a job, but you want something more than just a man that got a job. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think mainly what they really want is a man not just with a job, but with status and more money than they do. And this falls right in line with what Ted's talking about, this Kevin Samuels guy. I think that's Kevin Samuels' major thesis, is that women have an overrated opinion about themselves, and they shouldn't go after a guy based on the wrong criteria, which is based on self-delusion. And did Ted come back yet? I don't hear him.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
You have something on your computer.
Oh, you're talking to me? Okay, I'm going to put myself on. Well,
no,
I'll try to put myself on.
You're fine.
Oh,
though.
I'm fine? Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
So you know, I had a talk with a large group of women and asked, you know, because women talk about how they want a man to lead, you know, I want a man to lead. And that's a complicated conversation by itself. But when you get to why would you want a man to lead, one of the things that seemed to be fairly universal among a lot of women was conflict resolution. Is what they would be looking for guys to lead them on, because the women seem to universally agree that there are times when they get emotional about things, they may jump to conclusions, and they need a man who can, I'm going to say in my words, talk them down from the crazy. So when she jumps to conclusions, gets upset, emotional, and there's no reason to, they want to rationally talk to them and explain what she was missing so that he could get her back on track and get her out of the upset when there was no reason to be upset. So that was one of the major leadership things that women looked for from a man. And so for a man to do that, and this is how I'm connecting this to Kevin Samuels, you don't need to make a six-figure income to be a man who can do that. And so for the women who are saying, I want a guy who's 6'2", make six figures with a six-pack, there are so many things that women can get from a man that's extremely valuable. You guys have already seen, you know, the evidence. I've put it up that the way men and women's brains are not equal. They're just not. We call it women being emotional, but really the neuroscience of a woman's brain is she makes up stories in her head. She makes problems when there's no problems. That is what tens of thousands of neuroimaging proven, and there's empirical evidence for that to support it. So this is not my opinion. Men's brains are much more stable emotionally, mentally. And so with a more stable brain, a man can be much more effective in supporting a woman to not run off the rails. And that is something that a lot of women miss out on, and it's part of the reason they end up going down the path of delusion, is because they maybe grew up without a father, and they didn't have that emotionally stable rock in their home, so they have no idea how to even interact with it. So see, part of my concerns with Kevin is that he's created a bar for women who already had delusion, and they're saying, well, I still want a guy who's a high-value man, and he's got to earn six figures is what you need to be a high-value man. I mean, there are women who are nice-looking, and I'm going to make two comments here. They're nice-looking, but they're not what you would always think of for a guy who's...
As being worthy, right, as being worthy of a guy who's a high-value guy who's looking for an eight, nine, or a 10, right.
Right. But now let me come back. So I've done a lot of work. I have a lot of interactions with clients and other reasons, other events that I put on for CEOs only. And the CEOs I've dealt with, their companies have $100,000 or more, or up to $2 billion. And then I invited retired CEOs of Fortune 500, Chase Banks, B-Rock, Harris Mellon Casinos, and Dun & Bradstreet, Fortune 500. And when you see their wives are not always 8, 9, 10. You know, sometimes their wives are very attractive. Their wives have way more going on than they're attractive. These men are not married to trophy women. These men who clearly are high value. They make seven figures, seven, eight, or they make a lot of money. And sometimes you see their wives who are very attractive, but what those wives can articulate in a heartbeat is how they contribute to their husband, how they are valuable, how they are an asset to him. And that's what a lot of women are delusional about. They believe just having a uterus, looking average or good, or so they're average looking, believe they look better than they do. That just creates all kinds of problems. They don't understand what men in that socioeconomic class are looking for, especially men who are born in socioeconomic class. Right? So I've met a lot of guys, and I've met their fathers. The son is the CEO, and his dad was the CEO of a large company. So, okay.
Yeah, they want to maintain their legacy. They don't want to take a commoner, as it were, to coin the term from the English, and turn her into somewhat of a blue blood. They want to make sure that their money, their legacy, their hard work is appreciated by somebody of their same socioeconomic status. And even though she may not be good-looking as people may expect her to be, she is contributing to the finances and the economic well-being of the legacy of the man.
Exactly. Someone says I'm giving echo. Hey, can you, and Kendrick go on mute? Let's see if that works.
All right, I'm going to go on mute. And hopefully, I'm going to go on mute now.
Okay, am I still echoing? Nope, it stopped. All right, great. Okay, So as I have already said, Kevin Samuels has helped women be more realistic. He's helped men have a voice. But and Scobe, big props and acknowledgement to you for making a suggestion on this topic. So thank you for that. Yep. So here's my concern is that Kevin Samuels says that women just need to do become feminine, right? Go work out in the gym, be friendly, smile more, right? He had a whole show and there was lots of pushback from women who said, oh, he's telling us we have to smile, and women were angry about being told they should smile and be friendly. But he is actually adding to the delusion. So getting women off the delusion that a woman who is just dead average, not ugly, she's not pretty, she's just average, except she has the belief that she was this nine, this eight or nine. So he got them out of that. And getting them out of that will help them realistically match up maybe with a guy who's more on their level. There's another aspect is of intelligence, right? So there are a lot of women, and I don't think he's dealing with this properly, compatible intelligence. But there's this other aspect that he doesn't touch because he's so committed to giving these very slick and memorable acronyms, and that women believe that they can, all they have to do is parrot and say, look, I'm fit and I'm friendly and I'm feminine, so high value man, come get me. And she has no clue what that man is looking for. And Kevin has no clue either because he's never been in that world. Just hasn't been part of this world. And I'm going to address this whole image consultant in a second. So one of the things that he talks about is, oh, these high value men are, you know, they're just going to get what they want. And they, you know, and they're accustomed to getting whatever they want. But what he doesn't understand is that men who've been very successful in life, especially business, they're accustomed to getting things done to other people. And those other people know how to cooperate. So imagine you're a coach of a professional sport team and you have a player who's really good except he doesn't cooperate with the coach or his other team members. You're going to cut that guy. You don't need him. I've seen this happen with clients where you had the high performing, the salesperson, no question, high performing, knocking the ball out the park, getting big clients with great margins. But the guy was partying, he was doing drugs, he wasn't a great communicator with others, and they had to fire this guy. So if you are a successful person in business, one of the things that you know how to do is pick people who support you in accomplishing the things that you want. And a woman who doesn't understand cooperation, like I was talking about these guys who are either existing CEOs or former CEOs, you learn quickly how their wives cooperate with them. Their wives play a big role in their lives. And stay-at-home mom, between having a network, he may not be, like, talking about all of his CEO challenges to her, but there are some things that she's very familiar with, and she can give constructive feedback, you know, that other perspective from a feminine perspective, and men really do appreciate that. And Kevin is not emphasizing the things, the ways women need to develop themselves, their mindset, the skills, the competencies, conflict resolution, so that they're not a conflict, an irresolvable conflict who ends up saying irreconcilable differences and I want a divorce. I think the problem with the media is that it hypes up these Bill Gates divorces and some of the other big celebrities. However, most affluent people stay married. You know, just the news hypes them up so much. So my concern is that Kevin is helping dissolve one delusion, and he's not helping to dissolve another. It's actually enabling. Someone just came off of you. I'm echoing that. He's enabling another one because he's just telling him all you have to do is be fit and feminine. And I'm going to make this next one and I'll shut up. But the other thing is intellectual compatibility. You know, we have a society that tells women they're smarter than men. They're more mature than men. And too many men have bought into this, and this is really unfortunate because, men, if you take a step back and you look at every civilization around the world and the complexity of what it takes to even start a civilization from the person or people who had an idea and then had to go out and find the people with the money to finance building this civilization, and then you look at the chain of command, where that goes from there, that's a very long, complex process to be able to build civilizations with power grids and water supply, transportation systems, airports, train systems, shipping yards, trucking, roads, all this is extremely complex. And it takes a very high level of intelligence. And the way women talk is that men have done nothing. They've contributed nothing. And all of this takes a very high level of intellectual prowess, and women just diminish it as though it's nothing and go on the fact that, well, I'm a woman and I've been told I'm smarter, except there's no proof that you're smarter. And when you look at the facts of reality,
they said,
yes.
Yeah. Doesn't it, I may be doing the feedback, I'm not sure. Let me know if I am. But doesn't it bother you when a woman says, whatever a man can do, a woman can do better? That irks me.
Hey, pack your bags, go move to an island, take 10 million women with you, and build your own civilization, and then I will see exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, let's see if you beat the odds like the women couldn't do on Survivor. Build your own island, create the infrastructure with the bridges and the skyscrapers and the water pressure and the roads and the traffic stops and the law enforcement and the mayoral duties. See how well you can do.
Right, exactly. Then I will understand that you can do anything and everything. What I assume is pirates are going to show up on their island and turn it into Whore Island. The pirates are going to take over and turn it into a brothel, one big brothel. That's why they won't do it.
Yo, T.
What's that?
See, this, I'm like Mr. Joe. See, this is when you need the elders of the community to show the boys and show the girls how to carry themselves, you know, and how to be realistic in life. You know, try not to live no fantasy. But like you say, the media and then how these kids and these people been raised and brought up, that plays a lot to do with what's going on. And that between you and Mr. Samuel, y'all trying to spread this awareness, kind of wake the men up and you know, and try to tell these women, hey, it's time for you, hey, you need to get back in the lady's place. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
right.
Wake up.
Exactly, but
I think Ted, you want to wake up Kevin Samuels. You want to let him know that
he's enabling women to have a new crutch to sit on. That hey, I'm sitting feminine, so I'm ready for a high value guy, and that's not how it works. And where I was going was intellectual compatibility. The reality is, there are more men, significantly more men on the high end of IQ than there are women. Women, there are some women who are on the high end, but there most women sit in average and above average. That's where they are. Now, the other crazy thing is there are more men on the significantly lower end of IQ also. But what it takes to build a civilization, to create university. To build a civilization means you're creating education systems and militaries and all kinds of other institutions that support the growth and maintenance of your civilization. And women don't seem to have a real grasp of what the intellectual capacity required to do that. So you hear women say, well, men do nothing. They're worthless. I mean, I've literally heard this. Women say those words. And
okay.
Well, Kendrick, the problem is there are some men who are elders who bought into that.
So let me ask you this real quick, Ted. So what category would you put your Einsteins and your Stephen Hawkins, those type of minds, brilliant minds in the manosphere? Would they be considered high value? Because that's what I claim high value. That's what I think. You know what I'm saying? Those type of man.
I think even according to Kevin Samuels, they would qualify as high value. They made great living. I don't know how much Einstein was making back then. He was well compensated. Hell, he was smuggled from Germany. The U.S. smuggled
him. Those was five at that.
So I'm only saying he was smuggled from Germany and he would have been incentivized to stay here and work on projects in the U.S. So he would have been well compensated, at least for the industries he worked in. He wasn't a CEO of a company, but he was a great inventor or theorist. He worked on Manhattan Project, the Atom Bomb. He worked on a lot of important projects. So I'm sure he was very well compensated.
See, that's what I'm saying, Ted. And then you got the savants, and then you got the world's smartest man. Those type of dudes are the ones that really, you know what I'm saying, make a society run. So how you scale this thing? Because, like you said, if Kevin Samuels not in that tax bracket per se, so where are these? I'm trying to make the comparison. I'm trying to put the dots together. I don't know what these women looking for when they start talking about how bad. Because me and you, just like you said, we got a whole lot of type of value men out here that's valuable to society.
There are lots of valuable men out there who do a great job of raising their family, and they don't make $100,000 a year at all. And it's not even important that they make $100,000 a year. They raise their children, they give them great values, they prepare their children, their wives are supportive, and they do a good job of raising their family, and those men also can be an asset to their community. So, you know, do we say those men are not valuable? They're not high value. I mean, is it money that is the absolute criteria? And
no.
How,
in a word, no.
How does that come
okay.
from a guy? How do we take that from a guy who isn't what he promotes pontificate?
Because the guy's bought into the conditioning himself of what a man should be. He's bought into the indoctrination that in order for a man to be a man, to be attractive enough for the so-called high-value women, which I presume is what he calls women, they have to have money first and status accompanying it. So what he's looking at is what women want, and he has bought into it, and he's accommodating them. Instead of saying a man who makes less than $100,000 but knows his value emotionally, psychologically, et cetera, the intangibles, and can provide for his family and bring up his children so that they're responsible and strong human beings, that particular type of man should be what a woman, regardless of her salary and her status, should want. A woman who is delusional but making, let's say, $250,000 a year as a lawyer or a doctor and wants to marry a lawyer or a doctor who's making more money and believes that they are going to be the rock of that household, she is delusional. She could settle for, and I'm going to use the word, quote, settle in quotes, she could settle for a guy who's making $85,000 but could make her happy emotionally and bring up wonderful children, but she doesn't know that, she doesn't want that, and she's delusional in that way. And it sounds to me like this Kevin Samuels guy, he's kind of delusional himself.
There's some of that. So he's an image consultant, and so and you wouldn't know this, Joe, but because of the image he projects, there's a lot of talk about him being a man who has a preference for other men, if you understand what I'm saying.
let me get out my decoder ring. Okay, I'll figure it out then.
So as an image consultant, he talks a lot about how he's done such a smash-up job in working with these executives and creating image. But I met a guy who was an image consultant, and he did a lot of work with blue-collar men who started a company, right? So you're a carpenter, and you end up starting a carpenter business. You've got 100 employees, and now you're this executive making, well, you know, surely more than $100,000 a year. And because that guy came up as a carpenter, he didn't fully understand the rules of engagement when it comes to dressing, when he wanted to meet with like corporate clients or he was going to speak somewhere. So guys like that can find an image consultant to be very valuable. And I've met image consultants who had those kinds of clients. And you can imagine they would be very successful with those kinds of clients. And those image consultants, are well-dressed. And Kevin Samuels, when he does his shows, he's usually in a suit and tie. But there's an image that he portrays that there are pictures, there are some mannerisms, there are some things that conversations he engages in that would leave him with a suspect image. And as a result, there are some women who wonder if he just doesn't like women. And I think that could actually end up being a woman's excuse for destroying his message. So he does have messages that are very good, like to kill off the delusion of women. But while he kills off delusion and he's a great entertainer, he's actually setting women up with another delusional aspect of life, and I'm not sure if he understands that or if he even cares. So he looks suspect when it comes, and he's been divorced twice. I don't know that all everything that surrounds that, but people can say that I've never been married, and I do get that, but I didn't choose the wrong person to marry. And it's to do that twice.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. About that.
Make you a half-value man.
What I like about Tom Like is Tom will say, look, man, don't ask me how to make relationships work. I've been divorced, 3 times now? I don't know. I haven't.
Yeah.
He'll be honest. He'll tell you. I can tell you these are the problems out here, right? And these are the problems that women are engaging in, and they're acting like it's not a problem. So he exposes that. But he will be honest and say, look, I have failed marriages. So, don't ask me for how to make it work. I'm not that guy. And I can respect
that. What I like about Like is that someone would call in and say, you're ugly. You're not making the money that you think you should. And you're giving advice to people and you couldn't get laid in a whorehouse. And I like his responses. He says, it's because of the money that I can get laid. Yes, I understand that. It's not about my looks. But see, honey, and he'll call them honey and sweetheart, it's because I have the money that I can get the women that I want. So he's honest about that, too. The only thing about Lank is that I do not like is that he actually advocates that a man should be acerbic and be overly aggressive, not towards getting a woman, but to be obnoxious at the very beginning. And I don't particularly care for that. I say, no, if you're going to meet an obnoxious woman, she's going to show her colors, true enough, and maybe 98% of the women aren't worthy of the kind of men that are quality men. But don't give them any reason to point a finger at you and say, you see, this guy is obnoxious, he's acerbic, he's a jackass, and I didn't do anything to him. So that's the only thing about Lycus that I disagree with. Everything else, to me, is right on the money. I've listened to a lot of his videos.
There's a little validity to that. I'm not saying go full metal jacket, right, and an asshole move, but I've seen some situations where not being a nice guy like at all, and all the other guys were nice, and I was the guy who walked out with the woman's phone number.
I don't have any objections with his saying that. He's saying nice guys finish last, and if you're the bad boy, you will be the preference. What I don't like is that he's saying be an asshole at the very beginning when you meet somebody. Always expect that the woman is a jackass herself and treat her as such. I don't agree with that. I don't think a man should just come right out and be a moron at the very beginning. You know.
I guess there's some technique to that. Someone made a good comment. As an image consultant, Kevin Samuels is surface style oriented. His content should be taken as entertainment, not reality, although there are some important facts in the conversations he has with the women. And yes, there are some, you can't kill the value of many of his messages. But where I also have a problem is that he believes men are obligated to pay for women. That's a problem. And that creates another
What? That's his philosophy? Oh, man, I never heard of him.
Yes. Yeah, he proudly promotes that you should be. Now, look, if you marry a woman and you marry the right, you know, and you know this, she's going to be a great teammate for you and you're going to raise a great family and she's going to be a stay-at-home mom and she's going to do all the right things to raise the family and prepare the kids for life and the house is, you know, she's playing a real role, right? She's behind the scenes networking like a lot of these very high-level executives. Their wives are networking, and they're building networks of opportunities for their husbands. A lot of guys don't really understand how to. I was going to say leverage their women, but they don't understand a woman's role in being an asset. There are so many men who are fixated on, I want a woman who respects me and gives me peace of mind. I'm going to say this. If that's what you're looking for from a woman, you've set the bar so low. Because if you want peace of mind, that's something you have to learn how to develop yourself. No one can give you peace of mind, ever. No one in the universe. If your mind is not peaceful, there's some things, there's some conflicts that you need to resolve within yourself and get that handled. Like, you need to just get that handled and never stop getting it handled. If you're looking for a woman to respect and that's the most important thing for you, then you probably come from an environment where you're devalued constantly. And respect is several steps up. So those are not things to look for from a woman. That's like saying you expect her to have a vagina. Like that comes with it. I don't even want to call it respect because there's no reason for a woman to disrespect you. Why would a woman want to be in an intimate relationship with a man that she doesn't like or care for? Like, why are you with someone like that? That says more about the guy.
For the money.
The decision-making process.
So for the money and the status.
So why would the guy?
There are women who are with. There are women who are with men.
No, why would a guy be with a woman like that? Is what I'm asking. For money and status from the woman.
Why would a guy be with a woman who respects him?
No. Why would he be with woman who has disdain for men and treats you like she has men.
Why oh, yeah, well, he's, no, he's not. Some men do. But most men, especially if they're on the way up, if they feel that their career trajectory is going upwards, they don't want a woman to derail it. So they want a woman to respect them, and they want a woman, of course, to cooperate with them. To the degree that you're talking about, maybe a lot of women are capable of that. But a man who wants a support system, respect, yeah, it should be as natural as the left foot going in front of the right foot. But there are so many women out here who do not respect men that you have to let them know this is a prerequisite. If you feel that I, just because I'm a man, I'm supposed to do for you most of the time, you better learn something new. Okay? You are not a princess. I am not a king. Okay? You are not a queen. I am a man. You're a woman. And we should support one another, respect, appreciation. And my big thing is, everything should be based on morality. Do what you do for a man or a woman because you believe it's the right thing to do, not because you're impressed with him or impressed with her. Because after a while, you're not going to be impressed with him. It's just like what there was a saying in Hollywood back in the 30s and 40s. There is no Hollywood star who is a star to his valet because the valet knows the star in and out, knew his warts and his foibles, okay? So if a woman doesn't have a moral compass and she's just looking for a man to fulfill her princess fantasy, and there's a book called The Cinderella Complex, which is about things like that, about how a woman feels entitled. She's going to be disappointed, and she's not going to think of doing the right thing. She's going to think about doing the expedient thing for her, not for them. That's my take on it.
And she could end up with entitlement. And that's not a great support structure for anyone. Going on, Red Pill Recon. Hey, Drew, see you in the house. Bo Jack. Wafia. Good to see you. So, so that this other part, the entitlement. I'm a princess, so I'm fit, I'm feminine, and I'm friendly, and I'm entitled to your money. So that's really part of what he's out there promoting, is that women are entitled to your money. All she has to do is be fit, friendly, and feminine.
No wonder you're asking, is it help or hype? Jeez.
And so men are walking away with this and believing that they're obligated. So, and I would say the biggest missing part is that he's given women taglines to parrot, but men are having no clue on how to, it's like what you just said, Joe, is like, hey, I'm moving up the corporate ladder and I need someone who's going to be fully 100% cooperative with me. And we're going to build a life together. We're going to raise a family. I'm moving up the corporate ladder, and I need you to support me to get there. Or I've got a business, and it's going to take off, and I need you're going to work with me as my spouse. Those are not the kinds of conversations. And what he'll leave women with is, well, if he's making $300,000 a year, I'll just smile and be feminine and I'll do what he says. But that doesn't mean she's going to be. That doesn't mean she's
going. She's not going to be a good support partner. Yeah, she's not going to help him. She's there thinking because she's entitled that he's supposed to do everything for her.
Right. And Silas Lamont, yes, he's helped women on one hand, but on the other, he's created another delusion that they only have to be fit and feminine, and then the high value guy. If you're very pretty and you're fit and feminine, the high value guy should just automatically you're entitled to him taking care of you, and that's just your role. I mean, I was speaking. I don't know how long you've been in here, but I was speaking about many of the CEOs, retired CEOs of Fortune 500s and other CEOs I know of good-sized middle-market companies.
Yeah, I heard you when you were talking about them and their wives and why they selected them.
Not talking to someone else, Joe. So I'm saying that the wives of those women understand how to support their husbands, and their husbands are extraordinarily successful. They're not working against them. or they're not just acting. So a lot of women, if they watch him, they actually end up picking up acting lessons. Okay, what's my line? If I say this, then I'm going to be worth more to a high-value man, and he should marry me. And then when a guy gets married, he finds out who he's really married, and she doesn't want to do any acting anymore because she's got a legal binding contract with him, unless he was smart about his prenuptial agreement. Yep, I look, Imperator, yes, he's in it to make money, and producer for real, good to see you in the house. There's a business model to this, and I understand that. But there's also a responsibility too, because there's so many problems in this world of relationships. If you help women understand one delusion only to give them a new one, you took away one bad habit and gave them another. You know, that's like you hear about, a heroin addict who stops doing heroin and now they're smoking to stop doing heroin, or you stop smoking and now you have to chew gum or you have some other habit. Like you didn't like gut your system of the bad habit, whatever got you there in the first place. And I think one of the biggest things is that men are still not understanding that, and I've said this in many ways before, women are like water and men are a container. If women have a problem with me saying this, women are, it can be as volatile and as water. They can be all over the place. And that's just the way your brain works. It's not my opinion. It's what tens of thousands of neuroimaging research has done. And
I like that. That's just the way your brain works.
And if men can accept that, right? Part of what women need from men is this emotional stability. And it's another reason you don't want boys being raised in a house without their father. Even a little girl, that's going to make her more volatile. But so there's a value in emotional stability that men can bring to women. And if men don't understand that, and if women don't understand to honor that aspect of men, and they just have disdain for men because the feminists told them they should have disdain, it's not solving the problem. You end up just teaching women how to be actresses and how to get a ring on their finger, and then the man ends up marrying a nightmare, the part that I think can hurt. So he ends up giving women these microwave solutions to just have these taglines, I'm fit, I'm feminine, I'll be submissive, and just put a ring on my finger, and then after the guy gets the ring, he finds out he married the exorcist or something like that. Right, someone said exactly, and they're calling Kevin Samuels' show to find out the cheat codes and what to say to different questions. They're calling to learn how to be better chameleons. Right. See, everyone can say, yes, he's helping women. He's helped men have a voice. But there's another aspect that I'm actually seeing play out in society, and women are just learning the cheat codes and what to say. They're becoming actresses. And, yes, I'm sitting feminine. Look, I can be submissive and okay, saying X, Y, Z is bad, men won't like that. So I'll say A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3, and that's what Kevin said they want. But then actually not understanding what it takes to have a life with a man who is high quality. They're not understanding that. They're not understanding their role they play. It's like you were saying, Joe, they still believe they can go into a relationship believing they're a princess and they're entitled to princess stuff. Exactly, producers, for real. Right. So it's up to men to be able to weed out the women who are faking this. And there are going to be more women faking because there are more platforms that have been feeding women cheat codes. There's just been more and more. no one's really helping these women extinguish an unhealthy mindset that they've been living with from a little girl. I mean, just their idea that men are dumber than women is going to create a problem in a relationship. Like, before the relationship starts, she's already sabotaged. It's a hustle is a hustle, Silent Lamont. hey, but producer, for real, see what we're seeing. This isn't, women have not always just looked for the easy way. Let me tell you, you go back in the day, man, women, there were no like, oh, you have to take me to the expensive restaurant. What women did is they cooked a meal for you. That was a date, maybe even a first date. They cooked for you. They showed that they actually knew how to cook and care. That's been thrown out. Now they use excuses. They watch Lifetime television and they saw the crazy man butcher the woman. So that's their excuse. Imperative, good words. Right. So basically, because women are sabotaging relationships before they start, those women really are low-value women. And part of the reason what makes them low value, they're going into it already looking at men as being worthless and stupid and not doing much in society, not as mature. Men don't know what they want. Whatever he says, I dismiss it because I know better. Like, this is low value. And they can say, well, I have a degree and I have this job. Your job told you that there's etiquette, and if you don't follow the etiquette, you get fired, and that's it. You can come back and sue, but you get fired. And this is where you guys talk about the court system. If a man fires his wife, she has a golden parachute. She'll actually be better off than he is. So, Silent Lamont, there are several Jedi mind tricks going on. Biggest hustles on men is to trick men into believing men only want one thing. And so think about that. If you tell every little girl and teenager and an adult female that, hey, men are really not worth much, they only want one thing, and they think with a little bit. If you keep indoctrinating girls with that conversation, they're going to believe it. So how does a woman, how does a girl, a woman prepare for a man who only wants one thing? She offers the one thing that he wants and believes she's done her job. So parents who are teaching their little girls this, you've failed your daughter. Before she was old enough to even understand a relationship, he failed her. And so the only thing she prepared was for sex and to put it on a carrot on a stick and play cat and mouse. And she ends up being what I call a dopamine junkie, right? So you've got to tell her all these nice things and buy her things so that you can get the one thing that she believes is the most important thing to you is her vagina. And nothing else matters. And so she even looks down on you because that's all you want. The Jedi mind trick is this. Women are actually using men for sex, but they've got you convinced that it's you using her for sex. That's the Jedi mind trick. You've been tricked to believing you shouldn't want to use her. Date a woman and tell her you don't like her ass and see how upset she gets. Women want you to objectify them. They want you to want them. And they also want the freedom to want sex as much as they really do. But guys are not being taught this. You're being taught that you're the only one who wants sex. That's a huge Jedi mind trick. And if you want confirmation, just go ask a ton of women, what would you do if your husband said, honey, we're no longer having sex. I love you. I want to stay with you.
You know, Ted, you were talking about how a woman wants to prepare, wants to offer up sex. Sometimes as a result of that conversation, she wants to refuse it because she doesn't want to be considered a sex object.
Listen, but here's the deal. She's using sex because she believes that's all you want. She's just using it as a weapon. She's only talking about not wanting to be a sex object because that's what the feminist told her to get upset. But marry a woman and tell her you don't like her body and see what happens. Tell her you don't want to have sex with her and see how fast she divorces you. What I was just saying, Joe, is go ask countless women, what would you do if your husband came home and said, honey, we're no longer going to have sex. I still love you. I want to cuddle with you. I want to be with you. I want to still, you know.
I know.
Joe, only one woman has ever said she would stay, and she said the reason she would stay is because she didn't like sex. She doesn't like sex anyway, and she believes that marriage has become sexless, so she would stay. All the other women said they would divorce. They didn't say they would cheat. They said, I want a divorce. I don't want to be with a man who doesn't want me. And I said, well, what if it was a boyfriend who said, we're not going to have sex anymore? She said, I'm gone even faster. Why the hell would I stay with that guy? But what the women did when I asked that question is, well, is it a health problem? No, he's physically perfect. Well, is it a mental problem? Mentally. You can take him to a marriage counselor. You can take him to the doctor. He's fine. He just said, we're not going to have sex. Joe, the reason why I can ask that question is because there are a lot of men who actually experience that. Their wife came home and said, honey, we're not having sex anymore. Children are grown. We're not going to make children anymore. It's across the board. We're just not going to have sex anymore. The Bible said sex is only for procreation. We don't need to have sex. And the men stay in those marriages. See, if a woman says, I don't want to have sex, and a man divorces, he's looked at as a dog. But women will play victim and say, I'm out. So when women tell me, well, I'm getting a divorce, I say, well, wait a second, I'm confused. I thought it was men who only wanted one thing. You actually will divorce your husband because he doesn't want to have sex? And they're like, of course. I don't want to be with the man who doesn't want me. I said, so then it's you who's actually using the man. Well, it's a Jedi mind trick. You've got men convinced that they are using Men are convinced it's them using women for sex, when the fact of the matter is it's women using men for sex, but it's just this complete reverse psychology Jedi mind trick that men feel guilty about using women for sex when they're actually being used. Stop having sex and see how fast she changes her attitude towards you.
So this is my problem, though, Ted. Okay, I kind of understood what you just said, but what would you say into the situations of relationships where the wife stepped out on the husband and wasn't hardly getting it at home, but she was getting it out there in the streets, though, Ted? Because I heard those stories also.
Right.
You done gave it up to somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
I gave you a different conversation. I'm not talking about cheating women. When a husband comes home and says, we're not having sex, she wants out. I've asked countless women. Only one woman said she would stay. All the rest said they would be. All the rest tried to wiggle and say, well, maybe he needs to go to the doctor or psychiatrist. No, he's healthy. He's perfect.
Yeah, you got me there, Ted.
Listen, I'm just telling you what women said. This is not my opinion. Opinions are not usually valuable. I ask countless women from all over the United States, and I've done this for years, and it's amazing how they all want out. Sex is that important.
I mean, want out for what? Just to go and sleep around? I'm trying to get some understanding.
It has nothing to do with sleeping around, Kendrick. If you're married and you tell your wife you don't want to have sex, she wants out. She just wants a divorce. That simple. She doesn't want that. This is why women said, I don't want to be with a man who doesn't want me. And so, Joe, I hear women say, don't make me a sex object. But then, see, people parrot. This is the whole thing about Kevin Samuels. He's teaching them things to parrot. People will parrot what you tell them to say. But when you peel off the layers, you find out what the reality of the situation is. You just have to know what questions to ask. You guys have heard me talk about Sony Walkman. Back in the 80s, they made a yellow Walkman for the first time, and they put together focus groups, and they wanted to know what do people want? Do they want the yellow one or the black one? So they put people in a room and asked them a lot of different questions, and they asked, which do you think people will buy, the yellow or the black? And most people in the focus group said, oh, everyone's going to buy the yellow one. Well, good. That's what they said. Then the people doing the focus group said, hey, we want to thank you for your time. We're going to give each of you a Walkman. You get the choice of one. On the table on the right is the yellow one. On the table on the left is the black one. And most people took the black one. And that's after them saying everyone's going to want to buy the yellow one. But when it came down to it, they got it for free and they still took the black one. So that proved that they just said what they thought people wanted to hear. But the reality is they wanted the black one. So people do that in so many different ways. They tell you one thing, but you just have to know what questions to ask if you want to find out what's really happened.
Can you hear me?
Joe, I hear you. Is that you?
I'm having a problem with my app again. I want to ask you this before the show ends. Did you go to Angry Harry's site and find any topics for the show?
Did I go to Andy Harry's?
No, I gave you a site, angryharry.com.
Oh, Angry Harry.
He's a British
yes.
guy who is there. Huh?
Yes. I didn't go there, but I'll go to it, Joe. But I wanted to address this because it's on the surface, this Kevin Samuels, you know, people are calling him a saint and he's doing all this great stuff, but there's an aspect that people are not addressing. And it's like he's doing good and bad. It's like he's got his foot on the gas and the brake at the same time.
Yes, he's replacing one bad habit with another. So, in other words, yeah, he's got his foot on the brake, he's got his foot on the gas, he's going nowhere because he's not changing the minds of women so that they can actually become valued
exactly.
women. Right.
And he's got about 1 million followers, so he's become very popular. I'm addressing it because it is, well, and someone asked me to address it. But I think one
he's what's called an influencer, right?
Yes, he is. All right, let me just read a couple of these chats here. hey, Imperator, that's a good one. Women are offering one thing to every man that they like, so it has even lower value. And What's that called, Kendrick, when the sperm of another man can influence the DNA of your unborn child? What's that called?
The geneticists call it telogony.
Telogony?
Yes, sir, telogony.
Right. So imperatory. Right. That's really important. So if a man's the DNA from his sperm stays in her body. Women can go into denial about it all they want. This is one reason why having a virgin was so important. So women have got to understand that these women who've been with 100 guys or more, hell, even 20 guys is too much. I mean, it messes up. Forget the man's DNA, just the emotional trauma it causes for her. And then when you factor in her uterus has the sperm from all these different men, you've got telogeny, your children, your unborn children can be influenced, and they can end up looking a little bit like some guy from her past, and even though it's technically your child. So, you know, there are many problems here. This is why they wanted women to be virgins. But the feminists told them, and this is why I say a lot of people just repeat what they've been told. Feminists said you can do whatever men could do. They didn't tell them about the consequences, and here we are. And the other thing is, if women believe men only want one thing, then she's prepared only for one thing, which makes her incompetent for a relationship. And if she ever uses sex as a weapon, as a bargaining chip while she's in her marriage or a relationship, that's a problem. It's like she's a one-trick pony. And it's why, if you tell her you don't want to have sex, she loses all leverage. She's got no power over you anymore. And I didn't read the rest of this. Maybe someone mentioned that. Right. She's basically convinced that it's your ideal, therefore you must pay. Right. Yeah, right. If a woman doesn't want to have sex, and I know guys who their wives came home and said, you know, we're not going to have sex anymore. And the guys, first he was furious. He stayed. I mean, she eventually kind of crushed his spirit, and he walked into work with a Bible every day, and he went to church. The guy was crushed. And he was a vibrant, you know, this was no wimpy guy, but she tamed his ass. Hey, Johnny Blaze, this is why you know it's a Jedi mind trick, because men can't even comprehend that the mind trick has happened to them. Women have convinced you that you are using them and they're actually using you. Once you step out of it, once you say, I don't want to have sex, she's out. She's not. Only one woman would stay. They didn't say I would go cheat, I'd find another man. They just said I want a divorce for neglect, abandonment. Hey, producer, for real, right? Women actually, so they don't have the hobbies like men do. So they actually need sex more. They enjoy sex more. This is not really taught. This is why they want a divorce. Yep, Imperator. All right, exactly. Her bargaining chips are gone. She has nothing. Nothing to bargain with. And she can't use it as a weapon. SW, what's going on? Yes, people are gullible and they repeat. Telegami, right? Community bicycle. So I heard a comedian tell a very good joke. Interesting, right? They take on the hobbies of their husbands. Very interesting. Yes. And see, this is the men have way more power and influence with their wives. They'll even take on the interest of your hobbies, man. They will. You just need to be a solid guy. This is even more reason why guys need to be investing in themselves and developing themselves, because the kind of influence that you can have on a woman is very powerful. If you look at a woman as water and a man as a container, she's going to shape herself around the container. But a comedian told a joke. He asked the women in the audience, he said, what if you had a terrible accident and They had to remove your vagina, and you no longer had a vagina, which means you couldn't have sex. The comedian asked the women in the audience, how would you be valuable to your man if you no longer had a vagina? And the women were shouting, oral sex, anal sex. You know, they were just, you know, I'd have sex in other ways. And the comedian said, he said, I can't believe what women just did. He said, I just gave you an opportunity to say, I would add value to my husband's life by developing myself and doing these other things that are more important than sex. But instead of saying you do these other things to be valuable, you just made yourself a series of holes. So if you lost your vagina, you would just offer another hole. That's all you would offer. And they all laughed, but comedians get to make great comedy out of some social facts. There are a bunch of holes, exactly, Imperator. Listen, that's what the women in the audience said. They all just, if I lost my vagina, I'd just have another hole to offer. I'd offer another hole. This is the Jedi mind trick. This is how women see themselves. This is not men seeing women that way. This is how they see themselves.
But that also takes as community property. And I don't get down like that.
Yeah, well, if that's what she's done, I mean, you know, there are a lot of women who haven't made themselves community property. I mean, listen, I know of women who are 39, 40, and they're still virgins. So, you know, you just have to put yourself, any man who wants a virgin, you need to learn how to leverage your network to get access, because you won't know who those women are.
And then you got to be able to discern and read between the lines here.
No, that's not what I'm saying. You've got to leverage your network to find out who those women are, to know who a woman who's really a virgin. They are out there. One of the challenges that they find is the longer a woman waits to have sex, the less likely she will ever. She could end up dying a virgin. And women get beyond a certain age as a virgin, 50-year-old. There are 50-year-old virgins out there. Those women at some point become terrified of having sex.
Well, my mind blown, man. You just gave me a new perspective.
Listen, they are out there. There are more women who are virgins. I'm not saying there are like these billions of virgins out there. I'm saying that they are out there, and men just have to you have to leverage a network to know who they are. And just because a woman's a virgin doesn't mean that she's going to make a good spouse. Being a virgin,
and that's true,
doesn't qualify you to be a wife.
True, Ted. There's so many factors that go along, like you said, with being a wife. And the way this is set up now, it seems like, I'm trying to be delicate with it, but it seems like what we're seeing now, this is not, they're not grooming girls and young ladies to be that now.
Well, that's what we're getting at here, right? So women have no idea. They say they want a high-value man. They have no clue what he wants, what that kind of man wants. And then you have people out here who are giving inaccurate information about one, what high-value men desire in a woman, two, what women should be doing for high-value men, and three, inaccurate advice about what high-value men should be expecting and doing for women. And that, while it can be entertaining to hear those things, as SW said, people are gullible, and they end up taking. I've just heard women repeat Kevin Samuels. They just repeat what he said. Like, even if they're not doing it, even if they're not fit and feminine, they just repeat it because they heard it. Yes, SW, men, live your life, and she gets on board or she drowns. And a lot of women are drowning right now, and more will drown. and is imperator, right? She's 39 and she's a virgin. You hit 35, men start to look, actually before 35, but you hit 35, the possibility of having a complicated pregnancy is increased. Even though you have a clean uterus, there are other problems. You're 34, you're 39, you're 40, 45. This is a problem that some women believe, well, I just have to be a virgin. I'll be fit, feminine, I'll be a virgin, and a great guy will marry me. But she has no idea how to cooperate. She has no idea how to be an asset in a relationship, period. Forget marriage, just a relationship. A marriage is a relationship. So how do you, as a woman, manage yourself and handle your significant other in a way that you're valuable to him and he gets to contribute to you? You know, this belief that someone said earlier, if women go into it believing, well, I'm better than men because I'm smarter, you've already failed. You failed. And you're going to play games that will sabotage it. So, producer, for real, this is why I say women are water. Men are the containers. If you do not develop yourself to be a solid container, if you're a container made of paper, even if you're made of cardboard, if you're made of paper, she's going to rip right through your ass. She's going to shred you. And you're going to say you got played and all these hard words. You didn't develop it yourself into a man that can contain water. And if you're made of cardboard, you might have a false sense of security because cardboard might be able to contain water for a few minutes, but eventually water rips through cardboard. You need to be something solid, man. And you have the right to put boundaries and make demands and set standards. And I said this earlier tonight, if all you're looking for is peace of mind and respect, you've set that bar so low. Any man who's looking for a woman to be his peace, you've got a very low bar. No woman is responsible for your peace. You are responsible. That is why developing yourself. And yes, you can have a hobby where you go out in the yard and you work on something or whatever. I don't care if it's a stamp collection or fixing your 68 Chevelle or your Corvette. Those are good things that you can enjoy. But when you talk about having peace, man, having peace is being able to be powerful in the face of anything, in the face of conflict, in the face of chaos. In life, there are problems. There's chaos that happens. And chaos technically is not the problem. It's the conflict that you have with yourself about what's occurring. And the way, if you're 2 years old, tying your shoes can be chaotic. Well, when you're 10, tying your shoes is no big deal. You reach over, tie your shoes, and it's done. When you're 20, if a 20-year-old is experiencing chaos because he's got to tie his shoe, you're looking at the 20-year-old as something's not going well in his mind. There's something else not going right. And this is the way it is for life. If you develop yourself to be able to manage the chaos that just, it comes in life. So if a 2-year-old is finds tying your shoe to be chaotic and a problem, and a 20-year-old doesn't, how are the ways that you can develop yourself so that some of the challenges you meet in life becomes as simple as tying your shoe? And one of those things is how you manage yourself in your relationships with women. So if you're going to be that container that contains the woman who is water, you got to develop yourself into something that's a lot more solid, and a woman is not going to just eat through you. And SW, I said earlier, yes, I get there's a business model. I get people are making a living, but there's a level of responsibility. So if all you're doing is telling women, hey, you have this bad habit, but you just taught them 5 other bad habits and you entertained them and everyone thought it was great and entertaining, except they walked off with 5 new bad habits as they got rid of one, that's irresponsible. hey, yeah, so Imperator, you're talking about reversing roles, right? Women are looking for another woman, right? So, but see, they can only do that if a man acquiesces, if he goes along with that. See, as soon as they told men to go find your feminine side, men should have said, kiss my ass. You want a feminine side, you be that. And if you think you can be masculine, let's go get in the ring. Let's go do some of these jobs that women don't want to do. Let's go walk on those high beams on these skyscrapers. Let's go lay some bricks. Let's go do sanitation. Let's go drill some oil on a pipe. Let's go drill oil. Let's do these jobs, that these dirty jobs. Let's put your ass on the front line of the military. Let's get thousands of you right on the front line.
And then watch how fast you thin a crowd out to
you. And if you really think you're equal to me, pack up, treat them like you would treat your 13-year-old that says, I can do, I don't like this household, I can do better. Okay, pack up and leave. And go, you're 13, you can do better. Go do your own. And watch that 13-year-old get pimped. The streets will pimp them. And that's why women don't want to take off and go on their own island, because some pirates will show up and pimp their asses and turn it into Whore Island. The whole island will be a brothel. That's why women won't do that. Right, SW, they need us more than we need them. And they'll say, well, you need us for children in the future. Yeah, listen, fuck the children of the future. I'm here right now, and if men could survive, they'd live out their natural life by working together. Women would die in less than 10 years. Hey, yeah, Bo, you have to be a leader. And so this is a challenge that I did a show talking about leadership in corporations. And only they did two different surveys. One was, I think it was Fortune or Forbes. And the other one was McKinsey & Company, the top and most prestigious consulting firm in the world. And Forbes said 7% of CEOs said they were satisfied with their leadership development programs. And McKinsey found the number was 11%. So 7 and 11. That means a small percentage of companies are doing a good job creating leaders in the workplace, which may be one of the best places to get leadership development, unless you're willing to invest in yourself. And so I'm bringing this up because this presents a dilemma. Women are looking for leaders. Men are not always getting leadership. A lot of women don't understand leadership. At most women, most, and I'm going to say the overwhelming majority of women have no clue what leadership is. Women believe leadership is telling people what to do. I'll repeat it. Women, most, the overwhelming majority of women believe leadership is telling men what to do. I was in a place where there was hundreds of people, and I said, leadership has nothing to do with telling people what to do. And everyone was like scratching their head and wondering what I was talking about, because they all thought that's what leaders get paid to do, to tell people what to do. And that's a lousy leader. If you've got to tell people what to do, you suck as a leader. So there's a problem, right? So men and women, and most women, have a skewed idea of leadership. And then those women are raising sons as single mothers with the belief that they're leading by telling people what to do. And now their sons believe that's what it's about. See, leaders, the best leaders, the top CEOs and companies, they know how to pull the best out of their people. You may not always... The journey of that kind of transformation may have some chaos and some discomfort, because you're getting pushed way out of your comfort zone to make people better than they've ever been. So a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. And as a man, that's part of what you need to be doing with your woman is pushing her out of her comfort zone, pushing her, pulling her, getting her out of that, becoming more than she's ever been, not telling her what to do. But if guys are not getting training in leadership, how are they going to be able to lead in a relationship? If they think it's all about telling people what to do. And so imagine, a man believes that he's just got to tell a woman what to do. A woman has been told that all men want to do is dominate and control you. So now his leadership, which is inaccurate, appears to be controlling and dominating, and now they're just, this is a clash out the gate. It's set up for failure. So corporations are not doing a good job at developing leaders. I mean, a lot of these women who believe leadership is about telling people what to do, they're getting corporate training. And so that's proof it's failing. So a lot of guys are going to have to reconsider how you develop in yourselves. Hell, even do it as a group. Get a group of guys. Get 10, 20, 50, 100 guys together and develop yourselves. Pay someone who has the kind of leadership skills, who can impart the tools so that you can develop yourself. Like, you need tools as a leader to develop yourself into a leader. There's no magic formula. There are guys who grew up with fathers who were great leaders, and they had the template. They had this template on how to behave and how to think. And then their father had friends, and they were able to engage them also. Good way to say it, but right. Right. And if she acts feminine, you just cannot condemn her. The feminist told women that they're wrong. I hear stories of women who want to be feminine, and guys are like, that's weak. Let her be powerful in a very feminine way. It's easy to lead a woman in that way. Don't be afraid to push her out of her comfort zone to become more than she knows how to be on her own. So, while on one hand, I'm going to get back to our topic here. On one hand, I appreciate that Kevin Samuels has shined a light on much delusion that women have when they start talking about their worth and believing that they look better than they are, they believe they're smarter than they are. Hell, the fact that they lack discernment in their own looks by looking in the mirror says a lot about intelligence. The fact that they believe that a woman believes her job and her education is all that a man wants and that's enough is more delusion. Now, there are lots of guys who really do want a woman who's educated because he may be very well educated. He needs a woman who can at least be able to engage him. I was watching something where I think when Albert Einstein worked out this theory of relativity, worked out the theory, his wife was educated enough to ask him, would you like me to check your math, right? So that's a great relationship to have with your wife, that she's educated well enough to understand what you do, what you work on, what you're committed to. And that's great to have her as a sounding board, because if your woman is not serving as a sounding board, then you have to ask them, why is she there, right? And if she's just there for vagina, she needs to understand that role. So there are many other things that I talked about, like men being in a masculine role, men being the container for water, men not being obligated to pay women anything. And these are all things that are not well articulated with Kevin Samuels. In fact, he leaves women believing that, well, if you're attractive and you're feminine and fit, then a man, you're entitled to a man's money. And that's what high value men do, is they pay for everything. So there's no incentive for a woman to earn her way into your life. So if a woman wants into my life, she has to, if she wants to be invited into my life, she has to earn that. You don't just get an invitation for free. And men need to think that way, that just being attractive and feminine and having a job and an education doesn't qualify you. And as we were talking about, even being a virgin doesn't qualify you to be a wife. Otherwise, you wouldn't have women who are 40 years old or 50 years old as virgins if they had something to offer aside from the uterus. Maybe they'll be good surrogate mothers. Well, not at 50, though. So my concern with Kevin Samuels is that he's done a great job entertaining people. He's done a great job of shining light for women to get more realistic about the way they look. And what I find interesting is even when he's laying that out, women are still attempting to resist it. So, you know, that this is pointing out that there are some real intellectual deficiencies that women who are very average looking and still believe that they have the physical appeal, and especially when they're overweight, like just, you know, 5'8", 250 pounds, you can only laugh at this, right? Like, how do you let yourself get that unhealthy? It's not just about being obese. It's unhealthy. Why would any man take on a woman who's coming to the table with physical liabilities? He's helping women understand that. Yeah, SW, with really nothing to offer. So the fact that you allowed yourself to become overweight says a lot about how you see yourself and how you care for yourself. So you're going to be careless in some other ways. And maybe the woman has been successful in business. She does hair and she makes plenty of money, but she's just unhealthy. look, someone told me I was very bold, but in my book, I address specifically why I don't like fat women. I didn't even get to obese. I don't like overweight women. And I laid this out, why this makes a woman a liability. Some women were very upset when they read it and they said, I'm being harsh. But they also said they understand what I wrote. And they said that no man has ever explained it that way. And I think this is part of the problem also that Kevin Samuels is solving, and he's bridging a gap that men have been shut down for so long and believe they couldn't say anything. So men just shut up. And if a woman runs her mouth long enough or starts crying, men just shut down. And the woman just keeps running, thinking that what she's doing is good, because men have shut up. There's no leadership from the men when you do that. Like zero. And that's no different than letting your child have bad behavior and never correcting it. So there are guys out there who have allowed their women to have bad behavior and they still married the woman. Even now that they're married, they're saying, well, what do I do? It's like, dude, you signed on a dotted line. You signed up for this. See, if you marry a woman with bad behavior and then want her to change, you're the delusional one as a man.
Big time.
So men understand that so that they can stop going down that path. What were you going to say, Kendrick?
Yeah, man, you like you said, you the man is the delusional one if you think you're going to change that.
You signed up for it. What did you think was going to happen?
And on the flip side of that, these women signed up for these pookas, these ray rays, these gangsters, these thugs. They signed up for that test, so you got to take everything to come along with the territory.
Yeah, I mean.
But
you
don't
know,
put all us men in that same boat because of the poor decision that you made as an individual when you know there's better dudes out here. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I think Kevin has highlighted that also, right? You made some poor decisions with men, and And this is what I was saying before. So when you meet a woman and she has a history of poor decision-making, why would I take a risk on you? You've proven that you make poor decisions.
Right. And what he and what that man bring to the forefront is the women are usually make those poor decisions. Oh, she good for the pump and the dump. And then go on about your business.
Yeah, and men have to even be careful pumping and dumping because some of these women are petri dishes of diseases. So you end up with something you don't want.
And that's true too, Ted, so I don't advocate that either.
So, Imperator, you bring up a really good point. And see, but this is why I'm saying it's a man's job. So whether it's your wife or your daughter, your mother, your sister, there's a container role that you play with all those women. So if you're not, if you didn't set your daughter up to be marriage material, don't be surprised. And this is actually happening across races. There are fathers who are still paying rent and car notes for their daughters who are in their 20s and 30s because she's not marriage material. So he's got to supplement it. See, it ends up costing you anyway. So what a lot of men fathers are doing, they're promoting feminism to their daughters, and they're telling them that you're smarter than men. They're telling them you don't need men. But and then they ask, well, honey, are you ever going to get married and make grandchildren? It's like, well, you told me men are trash and that they're dumb and I don't need them and you don't want me to need them. All right. Look, here's what an education is for most women. An education is a backup plan for her bad behavior. She gets married, she's unruly, and the guy says, I want out, and she says, I don't care. I have education, I have a job. So in the past, women didn't have that. So it wasn't really an option for that kind of bad behavior because they had a role to play. And they played within the context of the husband being the breadwinner. And she depended on that. The whole family depended on that. There's another thing, and whether it's Kevin or someone else, if women really want high-value men, one of the first things most women have to do is get out of the workforce. I've already done a show showing that women are less productive in the workforce, and it's costing corporate America billions of dollars every year. It's costing the whole world money. So women are displacing men in jobs that are better served by men. So the more women you put in the workplace, it's like putting sand in a glass of water. You're going to displace the water, and you're going to push it out, and you're going to have sand in a glass instead of water. And that's what's happening. So you want more high-value men, you got to get out the workforce. You have to learn to be a wife, a good wife, who's not using her education and her job as a backup plan for when she gets it, when the husband says, I don't want to deal with this. This is unacceptable. And so instead of her saying, okay, I understand it's unacceptable, let's talk about how I need to change my behavior. She just says, I don't have to tolerate that. I should be able to do whatever I want. And so I'm just going to leave. I want a divorce. Because you won't accept my bad behavior, I want a divorce. Irreconcilable differences. Produce for real. Well said. Women don't self-regulate to the degree that men do. Conditions must be imposed upon them to keep them in line. Otherwise, they will take the easy way out. And this is why I say men need to construct and develop themselves as a container. If you're a paper container, she's going to rip through your ass. But you need to be solid gold. You need to be porcelain. You need to be something that she's not going to rust or tear apart and break right through you. See, as a man, that's your job. I mean, part of having growing up with your father, there's a certain education you get by your father being there. problem solving, masculinity. There's so much. How China's recognizing this problem, and they're seeing that boys are not as masculine as they used to be. So China has immediately initiated a program to teach masculinity to boys. So they're rectifying this. Which I don't want to get off track, but you better look out. If men in the U.S. are going to become more feminine and China is going to become more masculine, China is going to take over the world. The U.S. will just be one of its takeover targets. Whether they do it by war or they do it by economics, or they just buy the whole country, or loan us money that we can't pay back. Hell, if we wanted to go to war with China, we would have to borrow money to fight them, and we'd have to borrow money from China to fight China. That's the joke. The real joke, though. So, yes, men have to create the conditions and the boundaries. That's why I talk, you know, if you're the container and she's water, you're creating the boundaries. And men are not understanding how to do that. If you grow up with a single mother, they've never seen their mother have boundaries. So they grow up with a false sense. They think this out-of-control behavior is just normal, and they accept it. And any man who says this is unacceptable to a woman, other women will kindly remind them, well, your mother's a woman, so you're speaking badly about your mother. So men shut down. Digital yuan, exactly. Yep. So that is a problem. And women, honestly, if she's smart and understands that the value that a man can bring, one of the things, the important things that a woman will look for from a woman is to help her regulate herself. She will do that. She will know, women know they'll run off the rails and run straight up the crazy tree, and they'll look for the man to logically help her understand why she's being irrational. See, Imperator, this is why I have a problem with Kevin Samuels. It's not about imposing it. It's about saying no to certain things or to a lot of things. No. It's about saying this is unacceptable and I'll never accept it. And if you want to be that way, you should go somewhere else. And if all men say you should go somewhere else, where are they going to go? You don't have to impose it. You just create boundaries. If you want to have that kind of behavior, you have to do it over there. Here, if you come here within my world, that's unacceptable. I'm not imposing it on you because you don't have to stay. You can leave. Go somewhere else. But guys have to also, guys cannot be afraid to push women out of their comfort zone. And see, this is not imposing. There's something that men do better than women in general, and men look at what's in the best interest of the whole. So a man gets a job, he now has capital. And what does the man do? He says, I have enough money to make a family and raise them and have a good lifestyle. So man understands that capital comes with responsibility. And this is what men will do. They'll get capital. He'll marry a woman, he'll make children, he'll make sure they're well taken care of, his children are well educated, his wife is well educated, and that's how he'll raise them. Now, you give the same capital to a woman, and she doesn't need a man. She now says, I don't need a man. She doesn't understand the responsibility of capital and how that impacts the entire community. See, when a man takes care of his wife and his children, he's having a positive impact on the entire community. The woman doesn't care that she's emotionally traumatizing her children by raising them alone. She doesn't care. The little girls are affected more than the boys by not having a father in the house. She doesn't even do the research. There's no responsibility. She just says, well, I can do this without you because I now have the capital. Women believe that manhood is all about having money. And that, and see, this is where I have a problem with Kevin Samuels, because that's part of what he's helping, he's fostering and reinforcing a belief that manhood is about how much money you make. Now, I'm not saying a man should be without ambition and not want to accomplish anything. A man should develop some mastery in something and do well at it. I don't care if it's sweeping floors. I don't care what it is. Changing tires on buses, whatever the hell it is, develop yourself, do something. Farming. Well, because women don't understand the responsibility of capital, they don't look out for what's in the best interest of all. How does that impact the community? And then how that impacts other communities. So part of leadership is understanding how my decisions affect others. And men do that much better than women. And these are things that need to be fully addressed. That has nothing to do with being fit and feminine. Looking out, making decisions that are in the best interest for all. Women allowing seeds, sperm to be planted in their uterus with a guy that they think is stupid, is not in the best interest of the children or the community. And what you end up with are more and more children committing suicide or mass shootings. And just because you don't shoot 50 people in a day, you may have shot 50 people over 30, 60, or 90 days. It's still a mass shooter. They're creating these people. So imperator, see, you're bringing up something good. So part of the problem is that men became way too accepting, and one of the things they accepted was that they should find their feminine side. Telling you, men should have said, fuck that. So maybe I had an advantage. My last name is Santos. So in the U.S., women just charged me with, oh, Santos, oh, you have that machismo. Yeah, that's just the way you are, and you were raised to be that way. So I would get a pass. Women didn't have a problem. See that? I was given a pass to be able to express masculinity. Women saw me as a caveman, or they called me an asshole. Like, there are all these names, and they accepted it because, oh, well, you're Santos, and, you know, that's just the way you guys are. I got a pass. And a lot of men didn't get a pass. So you were expected to acquiesce and go along to get along. And if you want to have sex, well, you'll find your feminine side and you'll stop being masculine. And you'll treat women as an equal, even though we've never done anything equal to you. But you'll do it because that's what we want you to do, even if it's not in the best interest of the whole. So, you know, women are not looking at the best interest of the whole, and they're not looking long-term. Like, how is this going to play out in the future? And we're seeing it. And still we have women who are saying, well, you know, you guys just screwed up. You made babies and left us. They don't tell you that they were undesirable, poor decision makers. They asked the man to leave. They screamed, I don't need you, and you ain't shit, and you can get the hell out of here. I have my own money and my own job, so I don't need you. They don't tell you this. They say the guy left. Because her exit strategy was an education and a job, and I don't have to listen to anything. And men accepted that. You don't impregnate women like that. You're leaving your children in the hands of an abusive person. There are lots of abusive women out there, mothers, single mothers, and we don't want to talk about that either. So the name of my book is Here's Why You Can't Find Love. This is what it looks like. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any digital. You should even be able to find it inside the bookstores. So, and sperm love for a long time. There, look up microchimerism and telogen. Telegali, is that it, Kendrick?
Yes, sir, Telegani. That's certainly correct.
Telegani, T-E-L-E-G-O-N-Y. Did I spell that right? I know you wrote it in here.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. That's what it's called. I think that's what you're asking for. If that's not it, then please clarify it, because then I'm not sure.
And to add on to whoever's asking, Ted, they say that that has to do with the traits of your child coming out with another man's traits.
Right. Because his sperm DNA is left in her womb and will influence the unborn child. Correct? Is that the other way to say it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Cowboy Monk in the house. Good to see you. Request to see you. I'm not a master in the Bible, so I'm going to take your word for it. Okay. So, look, I'm not here to bash and take anything from Kevin Samuels. My concern is that there may be too much entertainment and too little emphasis on the big picture, and there are some inaccuracies because he, for one, is not a high value man. He just isn't. There's no way around that. I have a concern with his image consulting because I guess if you want to have a mostly female audience, you can look feminine, you can have a feminine image, and lots of women will feel safe around you. But that feminine image may come with a mindset that is not useful to heterosexual men. And so, he asks some really good questions, when you listen to him. I definitely will give him. He does a good job of asking questions to help, as you said, Kendrick, to help women tell on themselves, right? So, he plays a chess match with them. But my concern is that he leaves a wide open door for still even greater irresponsibility. And one way that's coming out is that women are just repeating his acronyms and his slogans and saying, all I have to do is be fit, friendly, and submissive. And that's what I'll tell a man if he asks me what I bring. And I'll say it in a very feminine way. But those women, their mindset is still the same. It's still just as undesirable as it was before they heard Kevin Samuels. And he's having men, you can't make anyone think anything, but what he's leaving men with a message that they are financially responsible in an obligatory way for women, and you're really not. All these women who've been screaming for years that they don't need a man, whoever said it here, let them get on your program or let them drown. Let them fucking drown. And hell, maybe you should put a hose in their mouth and turn that sucker on full blast and pour dump water in their mouth as they're drowning. See, there's where the problem is, right? We keep lowering the bar and say, yeah, I respect it. It's playing the game. But when the game is doing damage, right? So, if you're a drug dealer, you can say, yeah, I respect that. He's making his money. He's got his hustle, but he's doing damage. He's doing real damage. So we keep lowering the bar to say, well, you know, I respect that. How are we respecting people who are doing damage? Well, technically, producer for you, Kevin Samuels is not a high-value man because according to him, you have to earn $10,000 a month for 5 years. So he just made it to earning that amount, but he doesn't have a past for that. There's been enough out there that he was earning $900 a month, and that's not close to a high value. Even if he was earning $5,000 a month or $7,000, it's still, it doesn't qualify him as a high value man. He doesn't have a history of that. So he's new to the club, and I'm going to say this probably not the thing that a lot of guys want to hear, but he was raised by a single mother. So he really doesn't have the best idea of manhood, and that's coming across in the things that he's saying. So what's coming across from him is that in the end, he still gives in to whatever the woman wants, and that he still gives in to the philosophy of happy wife, happy life, and there's a bigger problem. Even if you get women to deal with the delusion that most of them don't look as good as they believe they do, most of them are not as smart as they think they are, and most of them only deserve guys who earn between $40,000 and $80,000, and you don't deserve more than that. If women can get that, great job. But what he's leaving the door open for is still for women to exploit men. He still is telling men, he's still speaking as a man who is raised by a woman. And a lot of mothers set their sons up to be exploited by women. And so now he's carrying the torch of allowing men to be exploited by women. He's carrying that torch from his mother and his aunts and whoever other women. He's passing that on to other men. And that's opening a much bigger door and creating much bigger problems. We've got to watch this respect the hustle thing because that's how we get pimps in a pulpit. And we just accept it because that's his hustle. The pimp is now in a church molesting children. And we say, well, he's got a hustle. You got to respect that. No, we don't. Who the hell said that? We have to respect that. If you're doing damage in the community, you need to get handled. It's not about it being his fault. If you are promoting inaccurate information, if you are telling people it's okay to be exploited, you are doing damage. People only know what they know. If you don't understand human behavior, then you say, well, no one's responsible. But whatever message you put out there, you're responsible for the impact. I don't care who you are. You can be doing just as much damage as Hitler, and people will say, well, I didn't kill all these people, but you did damage. So you're not listening to what I'm saying. People only have a brain that receives images and messages, and whatever you say is left in there, and people respond to that. So you need to be responsible about what – see, when people understand the power they have, they become way more responsible about what they say. And if you think you can just say anything and do – just like all the women who said, men ain't shit and I don't need a man. The women who taught them to say that did a lot of damage. It was irresponsible. People repeat like parrots. There are women out there saying, well, I'm fit and feminine now. They're only saying that because they heard someone say it. See, as men, this is what I'm getting at. As men, we have to learn to set a bar and hold people accountable to that. And stop saying, well, respect is hustle. Fuck that. I don't have to respect anyone's hustle. I don't respect a pimp in a pulpit. I don't respect a pimp on the street. and I don't respect a drug dealer. I don't respect people who are pimping their people and profiting from it. I do not have to respect that, because pimping is pimping, and the damage it does a lot of damage. And people lower the bar to say, oh, well, you know, he's got to hustle. I understand it's not a popular thing to say. And you didn't hear me say the word blame. You have to be responsible for what you say. When you understand, this is what leadership is about. When you're leading people, you're responsible for the impact you have on the people in your environment. And you can help people create miracles. They can produce extraordinary. What are you going to say that impacts the person's life forever? Because whatever you're going to say is going to impact their life forever. You can try and say, well, I didn't do it. I didn't mean it. That's what happens when you speak. That's the power of a human being and being able to speak. And if you don't understand that, then you don't understand what it means to be a human. You don't have to agree. But if you don't understand how the human brain works, then you're being irresponsible. You're just going to play like dumb. That's like saying, I didn't know fire would burn down the house. Responsible. Everything you say impacts the world. It impacts everything. Everything. Everything you say. And you can pretend it doesn't, but that is very dangerous, to pretend the things you say and do have no impact anywhere. Commercials, this is psychological warfare. Damn right. Every commercial that plays impacts you. They know what they're doing. That's how they get you to buy stuff that you don't need. That's how they get you to do things that are not in your best interest. They make movies, and you follow it, and you think you're doing it yourself. But if you understand human behavior, you understand you have nothing to do with what you think, say, and do. You only say the things that you were told to say. That's why you speak English or Mandarin or Wolof or Hakka or Hmong or whatever, Tibetan, whatever language you speak. You speak it because they told you to speak it. And when they were teaching you what to speak, they told you what's smart and what's intelligent and what's beautiful and what's good and what's bad. And depending on your socioeconomic class, they give you a different language, even though you're all speaking English. Technically, I address that in my book. I call it a radio station that plays in your head, and it runs your life, and you don't even realize it. You think it's you. We're all responsible for what we say.
Yes, sir, Ted. I'm so glad you broke it down, man.
Hold on. Anyone who uses the word blame, you don't understand responsibility. Responsibility is understanding the impact that you have on the outcome. And when people try to escape the impact they have on an outcome, that by itself is irresponsible. And the fact that you're speaking English is because someone told you to speak it. You didn't make that up. You didn't have the intelligence to make up the English language. You were born into, and it was there already. You didn't create another language for the rest of us to speak. You speak what they gave you, and you think what they give you. They don't teach you to think in school. They teach you to be a parrot. Go ahead, Kendrick.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm just in agreement with you. I really am, and I'm so glad, Chad, that you're breaking this stuff down. You're making a claim, even though a child can understand this thing.
I don't have an opinion, SW. I understand neuroscience, and I understand that you're saying exactly what someone told you to say. There are millions of, especially women, who say exactly what you say. That's how people avoid responsibility, to say, well, that's your opinion. No. Neuroscience says your brain records everything. They have empirical evidence and proof that when you're in your mother's womb, your brain, your neural paths are already recording. They're already recording stuff. Even though you don't understand language, your cells are recording everything. Everything. That's not an opinion. Your cells record it. Your brain records it. And then when certain things occur, you respond based on what your brain recorded already. That's not an opinion. There's tons of research to support this. But this is why aspects of psychology and neuroscience need to be taught in high school so people can better understand the impact. People are out here in relationships literally doing brain surgery on one another with zero qualifications, not understanding the impact they have on every word you say, every action you take, impact on other people. And it has nothing to do with people being stupid. Technically, everyone's stupid for speaking English instead of making up your own language. If you were smart enough, you wouldn't have never learned English or any other language. You would have made up your own. And whose fault is that? It's no one's fault. You don't understand neuroscience. And if you understood neuroplasticity, you would understand how that works and how that creates an entirely new paradigm. And you never hear, blaming is a whole different mindset. I have said nothing about blame. This is about being responsible. You're not responsible for your actions. Otherwise, you would never speak. This is not about, no, listen, this is not an insult. I'm speaking facts. Your brain records everything, everything. And you have nothing to do with that. They've proven in the womb, when you're sedated and they're doing an operation, your brain is recording everything. There are people who have been impacted because whether it was the dentist or the doctor and they were sedated and what was being said impacted them. This is happening. This is how powerful your brain is. It's recording everything. Look, these people who ride in limousines and don't want to be walking the streets with the average person, and they don't want to be dealing with traffic problems, is because they are protecting their brains. Because everything is being thrown into it, man. Stuff you don't even like is influencing you. It doesn't have to be TV. You could be on a subway. You could be walking down a street. You could be your colleagues at work. You're being influenced by all this stuff, and pretending the fact that people don't realize this is happening is very dangerous.
Ted, if I may real quick inject.
Sure.
You're 100% correct. And just like the old saying used to say, Ted, be careful what you're doing in front of a small child because they don't never forget. Well, that's both negative and positive.
SW, I would suggest you seriously do research on this because it's all being – look, if you were thinking for yourself, you wouldn't be writing in English and you wouldn't say the things that you're saying. And there is no evidence to support what you're saying. All the evidence supports that the brain records everything. The reason why people look for love in relationships is because they've been told to look for that. Love has nothing to do with creating a great relationship. Nothing. And yet people believe it. Most of what people, what the overwhelming majority of people call love is a damn dopamine rush, oxytocin. It has nothing to do with love. Yet people believe it's love. I know you because you're actually saying exactly what most people say. You don't have a point of view. You have the point of view that you inherited from society. And see, this is the problem we have in the world. People only have what society gave them. And when you introduce something that was not given to them, the only thing they can do with it is disagree because they don't know enough to agree or disagree. You only have what society gave you. infatuation. But here's the deal is. For a profession, I actually do the research. I don't go by popular culture, so I don't have a feeling about this. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm giving you empirical evidence. So people get dopamine highs. This is what this whole take me out to dinner, buy me gifts, all those things. People getting dopamine. And the whole touching and sex is oxytocin. These things feel good, and people confuse them with love. Love has nothing to do with your feelings. That's a tough one for people to hear, because they'll tell you about all the feelings they have. And they'll tell you how real it is. People base things on feelings and what they heard. And this is all what has been dumped into your brain. It's been downloaded. And you're not responsible for any of it. It existed before you were born. And it's actually this whole idea of marrying for love is new. It's new in human existence. And people don't realize that that's a perfect example of influence. And people have nothing to do with it. Some dude wrote a book back in 1817, John Keats, La Femme Dame Sans Merci. I forget what the translation, I don't speak French. But that one book, even though it was written in 1817 or 1819, it didn't catch on until the 1850s, and it altered relationships. And now Hollywood has taken it to a whole nother level. And people are not responsible for that. It's no one's fault. But that's the most perfect example of how people are not thinking for themselves. They have full influence by that one man's book that mushroomed and grew branches into all these other directions and fairy tales and movies. And people think they're experiencing love. It's no one's fault. It's not that they're stupid. People just have what you put into their brain. The only reason you speak English. Si yo quiero hablar contigo en otro idioma, você no puede entenderme. ¿Por qué? Porque ninguém pessoa, você não aprende outro idioma. So you, if I speak to you in another language, you can't understand that. It's not your fault. It's no one to blame. You just have what you have. That's it. Doesn't make you stupid. You just have the limits of what your environment gave you. And your environment includes not just your family and your neighborhood, it's your whole damn country, the whole planet. Let's go Bay. So I gotta pull back the reins, huh? Your point is what the average person says. You're saying exactly what most women say. It's repeated over and over again. That's just your opinion. I have something to do. That's what you say when you haven't done the work. When you've really done the transformational work, you actually understand what I'm talking about. What were you going to say, Kendrick?
Oh, you can't argue that, Ted, because you don't know what you know. And like you said, they start out when, like you say, they from the womb all the way to kindergarten, preschool, that's when they really get you.
Right.
And next thing you know, here you is carrying stuff 20-some, 30 years down the road, and that's the only thing you know.
Yep.
So, you can't argue that point with you.
Yep. Todo bien, Ramon. Yo puedo hablar español también. Ahora yo puedo hablar español mejor que portugués, porque yo viví en México. Ni modo. I speak English. ¿De dónde eres?
See, like you just said, I ain't understand a word you just said. You see what I mean?
Right. So you only know what you know, and that doesn't make you stupid. It doesn't make you irresponsible. You just have what people gave you. And we don't question things enough. And who's that? Imperator? I wasn't cursing in Spanish. I was actually speaking Portuguese, not Spanish. So Ramon, he saw that. He saw I was speaking Portuguese, not Spanish. I wasn't I spoke Spanish just now afterwards, but initially that was Portuguese.
And to the untrained ear, Ted, you would think Portuguese was Spanish if you ain't knew no better.
And that's right. So you might, exactly, that's right. So you might inaccurately interpret Portuguese as Spanish because you've heard Spanish. But if I say, Ochen preyat na paz na komitsa, Ramon, Ochen preyat na paz na komitsa. See, now, unless he speaks that language, he probably can't do anything with that one. SW, this is not my opinion. This is research. This is doing the work. This is what happens when you do the research and you do the work. Mexico. Yo viví en Guerrero, en Acapulco. I lived there almost 2 years in Acapulco. Está bien. Bueno. There's tons. See, this is why I keep driving that men really have to do personal development, self-improvement, because all we have is what we were given. So we have what we were given. No insults. These are facts. You only have what you were given. If you're insulted by, listen, you can only have what your environment gave you. That's it. If you only speak English, that's because that's what your environment gave you. That's not bad. It's no one's fault. No one's to blame for that. I mean, there are 192 countries and who knows how many thousands of languages exist on the planet. There are people who speak 15, 16 languages fluently.
Just out of curiosity, real quick. So what was the original native language of this country, if I could ask you it?
There were several. There were several. I'm not going to go down this path, but there were people here before the Indians.
That's true. That's real true.
There were several nations here. And Ramon, Ochen preyat na paz na komitsa is the same as mucho gusto. It was Russian for a pleasure to meet you. I spoke Russian. I don't have a lot of Russian in me, but yeah, that's it. Well, where'd you get your facts, SW? Because you're saying what most people say. Like that's really like pop culture. Like we get told, we hear these things. This is where I have a concern. There's so many things that are stated out in the public and from people who have large audiences. And people then believe their facts when they're actually not. They're not even close to facts. And then they get promoted as a fact. I mean, at one time people believed the Earth was the center of the universe, and that was a fact. And a guy named Copernicus said, well, that's inaccurate. Technically, the sun is the center, and all the planets go around the sun, including the Earth goes around the sun. Well, they executed him. The church executed him for heresy because everyone bought into what they were given was the Earth was the center of the universe, and everything went around the Earth. They just had what they had. And there's so much that's out there given that way that's so inaccurate, and then people repeat it. And so there's where my concern is, right? So they said all the planets revolve around the Earth, right? So there was some fact in there, right? So the planets do revolve. They do go around. But they mix a fact with a lie. The fact is the planets rotate. The lie was they rotate around the Earth. They actually rotate around the sun. And if you go deeper, the sun is actually going around the Milky Way.
And that's true.